Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing, share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, bonjour.
Is Monday morning a struggle to get out of bed into the swing of things? Well, don't worry, you are not alone. Join us for thought-provoking, stimulating, and mindful conversations on higher learning with Zelda Speaks for your Monday morning mindfulness sessions on Blog Talk Radio, The Female Solution. Mondays, 7:30 until 9 a.m. Be sure and send your ideas, thoughts, comments, and suggestions. Also, if you'd like to be a guest on the show, visit ZeldaSpeaks.com and send us your info. We'd love to have you. Experience mindfulness moments with the mindfulness/stress relief coach, Zelda Speaks. And thanks for sharing the mindfulness moment tip of the day. Stay on purpose, stay empowered, and stay tuned to your next session of Mindfulness on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks. Make it a mindful day. And thanks for listening.
Apologies for that. If you couldn't hear me, if you're listening online this morning, we'll take your comments after the 7:30 break at 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak. And you can follow us on our YouTube channel, Higher Learning TV Show, and HLN TV on Facebook. And don't forget about my channel, Zelda Speaks on YouTube and Zelda Speaks Mindfulness. Well, it's a quiet, excuse me, it is a quiet day outside today. If you're headed out and about, you may experience a little traffic, but not a whole lot. The traffic is during the course of the day when it is, I have never seen so many people out. Well, I guess because I don't go out a lot, but it is just so many people everywhere. I've been on the north side, downtown, outside. It's just people everywhere, and that's what people do, come out on the holidays. So if you're headed out and about today, it's going to be nice. It's only in the 60s right now, but it'll be up to 75 today. That's good weather for Chicago. And today's traffic and weather is sponsored by Karen Kelly of itex.com. If you are an owner, a business owner, or an entrepreneur, and you need supplies, stationery, car, travel, anywhere we went to, anywhere you can think of that you can go in the world, you can travel on itex. And you can start by getting a membership. It's absolutely free, and you get a $100 bonus if you sign up. and use the promo code ZELDA, Z-E-L-D-A. And for those who don't know why I say it, my name like that, it's because of the ancestors in radio who I once worked with, Richard Pegee. And he was always going off the air, and I was coming on behind him on Dusty Radio 1390 and on when then it turned to Talk Radio 1390. And people could never get my name right, and they would say Zelma, Zelva, Zella. He was not. So he enunciated. He said Zelda. So that's where it comes from. So all praises to the ancestors. Richard Pegee. I have to look on my wall over there. Kept cool. You know, we can't forget the godfather of Bronzeville. Oh, and Doug Banks. Doug Banks. We salute them. And Yvonne Daniels. I mean, the list goes on. So, but always giving thanks to the ancestors who made it possible for us to be here today. Not a whole lot of traffic today. It's not even worth mentioning, but I just thought I would mention it. It's clear. You know, the roadways are clear. Nobody's going anywhere. Everybody's celebrating. Be sure and check out diabeticdonut.com because some of us have eaten a little bit too much over the pandemic and gained a few pounds. Not only that, you might be diabetic. And that's how I discovered I was diabetic. I had surgery, being wheeled into surgery. Long story short, doctor looked at my wrist and, you know, name, date of birth and all that stuff. And you're a diabetic? Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh, wait. What do you mean, me? Diabetic? No, I've been pre-diabetic for 10 years, baby. You were diabetic. Anyway, go to diabeticdonut.com. You'll see my story there. Not selling you anything. It's a free download. Share that with somebody. And gives you the recipe for the drink that I have every morning. Apple, beet, cucumber, lemon, ginger, kale, and turmeric. But it works. The numbers went from 75 to 57. Okay. Let's make a drink work. Okay. Just thought I'd share that with you. Set your alarms for Tuesdays at 6, Wednesdays at 1 on Channel 19. I said that already. Sometimes, you know, I repeat myself. Well, that's what happens when you get a little older and you forget little things sometimes. But right now I want to give you a Monday morning mindfulness meditation. And I'm looking for it. And what did I do with it? See, that's what happens when you don't clear your phone. And I have not cleared my phone, and I am so sorry, but I've got to find it, because I know you want your Monday morning inspiration. And Mike House is the young man who sent it to me. Unfortunately, he's way down here at the bottom. So what I will do, I sincerely apologize for this. It's usually at the top, but somebody texted me this morning and everything jumps to the bottom. So let me go in and pull it up. But in the meantime, you can get comfortable, sit up straight in your chair, or find something somewhere comfortable. Because as we prepare for Monday morning mindfulness meditation, you will need to be, ooh, that is not working. You will need to be, I can't find it. And I'll read it to you in a minute, but I've got to get you a little ding ding. Apologies. Yeah, I slept a little late this morning. It happened. It was activity for me yesterday. You're up this morning. Oh, type in the comments what city, state, or country you're watching from. Grand Rising Naima Latif, beautiful queen teacher, see you at 7:30. All right, she'll be joining the conversation, and you can join the conversation as well. All you have to do is call in 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak. Okay. Excuse me. Are you comfortable? Are you sitting in a comfortable chair? Or are you lying in bed like I used to do? Don't make me turn this camera around on you. That works every time, don't it? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got you goofy. That's just what I have to deal with every morning. My husband thinks he's a comedian. Always cracking jokes. Come over here and tell a joke. So we can see you in your pajamas. All right, y'all. Okay, I'm sorry. It is time for Monday morning meditation. Monday morning mindfulness meditation. And I ask that you simply close your eyes. You should not be looking at me, but the inside of your eyelids. That's the only thing that you should see, okay? Excuse me, and begin the process of... See, a little bit more this old man to do that. Close your eyes and simply breathe in and breathe out. Breathe in through your nose and out through your mouth. Inhale deeply. Hold it. And exhale. So let us begin. Close your eyes. Focus your breathing. Focus your mind on your breathing. Giving thanks for the power of the breath. The breath is your first line of defense. It will keep you in times of chaos and confusion. As we breathe in, hold it, and we breathe out, we give thanks for the breath, for the heart, liver, lungs, spleen, spine, pancreas, all of those organs working all on their own without us having to do anything but simply what? Breathe in. Hold it. And exhale. Zelda, this is not what I call for. This is not what I want to see on the show. I want to see cheating, part three. Well, this is all part of it, my dear. Inhale deeply. And exhale. And now I just want you to stretch, because we have to stretch the mind and the body to become one, attuned with the higher power that is within. So I like to turn around in my high back chair and grab it and just twist that body. Yeah, the body appreciates it. Yes, it does. And it'll tell you. You know how? Because it'll keep moving. You can't twist anymore. That's a good sign. Just twist your body a little nudge. You know, it's like wringing the organs out on the inside, giving them a little squeeze, giving them a little love. Grab the back of that chair. Oh, yeah, that feels good. Twist that back. Yeah, you know, we get back problems from sitting all day. That's not good. 8 hours of the chair, I used to do it religiously. Some of y'all do it, too. But you got to move. 88-year-old woman at the gym told me a body in motion stays in motion, and we want to stay in motion. So let's stay in motion by simply breathing in. Hold it, and exhale. Feel how your body feels when you breathe. Do you feel a different sensation all up in here? Let's breathe in. Bringing that breath up to the top of the head, down through the chakras, and the face, and the shoulders. Breathe in. Rotate those shoulders, and breathe out. Once more, breathe in. Hold it. And breathe out. Rotate those shoulders forward. And then rotate those shoulders backwards. And just continue breathing in. And breathing out. Oh, yes, that relaxes all of the muscles. You see, we have to meditate in order to activate. As you continue to breathe in. And as you breathe out, giving thanks for the power of the breath. Because it is the breath that will keep you in times of chaos and confusion. Breathe in. And breathe out. And this is what we are doing this morning. We are inhaling and exhaling because we want to inhale faith and exhale fear. Because many of us are living in times of chaos and confusion. And our faith is being challenged. So this is what we do. Inhale faith. And exhale fear. Blow it out. And you can inhale anything you want. You simply choose it. And I choose what? Inhale faith. Hold it. And exhale. And remember, you shouldn't be looking at me. You should not be looking at the screen. You should be looking at the inside of your eyelids. As you inhale these affirmations, And exhale negative self-talk. Once more, inhale affirmations. And exhale negative self-talk. Once more, inhale affirmations. And exhale negative self-talk. You see, because it is the voices in our head that stop us from moving forward. All the negative programming that we hear from others, from the world, from television, radio, our cell phones, we're on 24 hours a day, it keeps us trapped. It keeps us off-centered because what we digest mentally, physically, and emotionally will keep us in a state of chaos and confusion. And that is why we inhale affirmations and exhale negative self-talk. Inhale love and exhale anything the loveless. How about that? You need love. We're always looking at the wrong place. We're looking on the outside of ourselves when we deserve to be looking on the inside. That's where the real love is. Need love. Inhale deeply. And exhale. It's all about self-love. See, this is self-love right here. Inhale love. And exhale self-love. Because that is the kind of love that is non-judgmental. And it is always with you. As we inhale deeply, inhale the genius within us and exhale doubt. Once more, inhale genius and exhale doubt. Once more, inhale genius, the genius that you are, that you were born. No one had to tell you, but I'm telling you now in case you've forgotten. Inhale genius and exhale. Inhale all the affirmations of love and exhale doubt. Inhale deeply. And exhale. And this is all we're doing. We are meditating to activate. We are meditating to activate the spirit that is within. Because it is the spirit that is within that will never, ever steer us wrong. We are always at the right place, at the right time, doing the right thing. As we inhale and exhale, and just continue to breathe in and to breathe out, giving thanks for the power of the breath, because someone somewhere is unable to breathe on their own. They may have a trachea in their throat, they may have COPD, they may have a host of respiratory issues. But look at you, breathing all on your own with no help. How powerful is that? Give thanks for that breath, because it can be taken away from you at a moment's notice. And the powers that be, inhale deeply. And exhale. The powers that be don't want you to know this. They don't want you to keep quiet. They do not want you to be at peace, at one with self. Because when you are at peace, they cannot shove down your throat whatever it is that they're pushing. What'd you say, Zelda? I'll say it again. Inhale deeply. And exhale. When you meditate, you activate the powers that are within you. They cannot continue to program. We're all programmed, and I recognize it. I am programmed as well as everyone else, but at least I am aware of it. I am conscious of it. That is why the spirit that is within me, that guides me and guards me and directs me, and the same for you every single day, said Zelda, you must not only give breathing instructions, but you must help those who are in need of guidance and direction. And that's not to say that that's what you need, but there are others who need it. And that's why activating the power, the genius with the affirmations, that's why we do this. Because many have forgotten that they come from royalty, that they come from lineage of parents and grandparents and great-great-grandparents who sacrificed for us to be here, who took a little bit of nothing and made a whole lot of something. And I was reminded of that yesterday when I was filming, getting footage for the Higher Learning Network TV show. All of the entrepreneurs that were there with their new brands, with the lipstick, with the t-shirts. Oh, Lord, these t-shirts I got. Oh, I'll show them to you later. Well, you know what? They're on the video, facebook.com. HLN TV show. All the videos are there. And, of course, mine's up this week. It is imperative that we remember, and I know the ancestors spoke to them, are still speaking to them, because they're moving forward in their lives fearlessly, because they have been activated in some shape, form, or fashion. And I will bet your bottom dollar that somewhere in the course of their lives, they had to get quiet in order to hear. That's why the noise levels are so high, so we can't hear. But when we get quiet and we take the time and listen to the still small voice that never speaks above a whisper. See, that's why you have to get quiet, because you can't hear, because you're talking too loud. And you got too much going on up here. But when you stop and you breathe in and you breathe out, that begins the activation process. And you want to activate that power that is within you. That power also will help you keep your sanity in times of chaos and confusion. It will help your immune system. See, they're telling you to get all these medicines and things of that nature for your immune system. And honey, all you have to do is listen to Viata's show on Friday. Anything and everything that you need, health and well-being, it's there. The information is there for you, but you've got to listen to it. And you've got to be conscious of your thinking. That's why we meditate, to activate. So let us continue to take one long, deep breath. Inhale deeply. I hope you were breathing all the time that I was talking. And exhale once more. Inhale deeply. And exhale once more. Inhale deeply. And this time, as we exhale, bring your head forward. Tilt it chin to chest. And slowly rotate that head to the left. Bring it around to the back. Slow down. Moving too fast. And slowly bring it around to the right. You want to feel the increments in your neck. You might feel a little pop, but that's okay. Head up. Inhale deeply. And as you exhale, bring your chin down, chin to chest, and slowly rotate that head to the right. Slowly. Slowly. Slow down. You're moving too fast. I want you to feel that stretch in your neck. Oh, yeah, that feels good. And bring it back around slowly to the front. Head up. Inhale deeply. Look to the left as far as you possibly can, feeling the stretch in the right of the neck. Ah, yes, that feels good. Inhale once more. And look to the right as far as you possibly can, feeling the stretch in the left side of the neck. Oh, yeah, that feels good. And exhale. Inhale once more. And exhale. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is your Monday morning mindfulness meditation. I hope you will practice that at home. It doesn't take 5, 10, 15 minutes. It takes just a few minutes. But the point is that you practice it. Make it a habit of spending at least 5 minutes. You can start out with 1 minute to work your way up. Because the more you meditate, the more quiet time that you will spend with yourself, you'll realize you just don't want to be around a whole lot of people all the time, because everyone is not vibrating on the same level. Some are here at 432. Some are here at 222. What do you mean by that, vibrating on a different level? Go to YouTube, type in the love frequency for healing. And there are lots of them. I like the one that's called Meditative Mind. As a matter of fact, I'll pull it up for you. meditative mind on YouTube, because not everyone is aware of metaphysics and how the metaphysical world is available to us. So I'm going to type in 432MHZ, music to clear negative energy. That's what I'm going to type up for you. And I'm going to open this window so that you can see that. Why are you doing this, though? Because it's very important that you know that. And to have this music playing on your cell phone or wherever you are, because what you listen to on a daily basis is what you become. That is the level of energy that you will be vibrating from. So can you see that? Oops, sorry about that. Here we go. So go to YouTube. You see this says 432 Cleanse Negative Vibes, 528 Hertz Cell, and DNA Healing. This is one of the ones that I keep. That's from Zen Life Reflex. This is one from Power Thoughts Meditation Club. Energy Cleanse Your Home and Your Miracle Vibration. You know, sometimes how people come over your house and they got negative energy, you know, they're cussing and swearing and talking about folks, and it's like, I don't want to be around that. So when they leave, I burn some sage. They haven't been here lately, but that's what I would do. I burn some sage and just go around and throw love in the corners, in the corridors. Here's another one, cleanses all the negative. This is my favorite, Meditative Mind. There's one here from Magical Force. I love this one, too. And I'm just going to open it up and let you see it. Of course, they always want to show you some ads. Anyway, we're not going to do those ads this morning, but I just want to show you what that looks like. So you can go to any of them. You see, I've been looking at it. I'm on 3 hours here. And I'm not going to play it because I don't want YouTube saying I played their music, because they're good for that. But I love this one, The Magical Forest, where you manifest miracles and raise your vibration. And, of course, they want to show commercials, so we're not going to see that. And I'm not going to play the audio either, because I don't want them flagging me. So, but this is an example. Can you imagine looking at your computer and saying that? Isn't that just, what's the word for it? Magical, I guess. It's so calming. And that's another thing. If you haven't been out in nature, today is a good day to do that. Because, see these trees? Trees have roots. And they go as far down into the ground.
It's like I remember when I first got on a panel with Mike. Mike came up with a, so I introduced myself, like, oh, my God, well, maybe you'll get a chance to speak to me. So if somebody's in the panel and they just want to make a comment, and they have a few questions about directing people and what the they say. I just let Mike say, he came back my way and get it there what I wanted to say anyway. So I just step back. But he says that, think this is to protect people out. With me, I ain't nothing to figure out. Everything that gets me is just that how.
Laura receives quick cash in her account. After purchasing, Jessica can now share her own QuickClick and begin earning quick cash as well. But QuickClick is more than just your typical referral or affiliate platform. QuickClick rewards customers for sales they directly and indirectly influence. So, for every sale Jessica's new QuickClick makes, Laura will earn additional quick cash as well, making the potential for earning exponential. Laura and Jessica can transfer their quick cash balance to their bank account at any time, or can even use quick cash to make additional purchases in the app. Meanwhile, Sam can just watch as the sales roll in. Best of all, she doesn't have to worry about costs, since she is only spending marketing dollars when actual purchases are made. Start buying, sharing, and earning today at QuickClick.com.
What is if you could live to be 120 years old and remain active, healthy, alert, and vibrant? Our bodies are made up of cells that are constantly rejuvenating. So if we take proper care of our cells, we can literally defy aging. Join us every Tuesday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time to learn about self-care from Susan Essentials on the Female Solution Blog Talk Radio Show. Learn how to help your body and your cells feel rejuvenated each day through proper nutrition, sleep, frequency medicine, and many unconventional methods of self-care. I'm Jody Susan. Join me and my amazing guests by calling in at 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak. We'll help you achieve a breakthrough in your health today.
Every day, thousands of our residents leave Chicago to shop and enhance. Jobs are being lost and businesses are relocating. Let's find a way to lower our taxes to encourage residents to continue living and shopping in our city. Let's rebuild. Let's restore Chicago. Vote for me, for mayor of the city of Chicago, and I will work hard to find solutions that matter. I'm Dr. Willa Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willa Wilson.
Kids are the future and should not be left behind. One person should not decide what is the best for our 77 communities. Politicians must work together for our kids' best interests. They deserve a safe education with resources that meet every student need. Let's rebuild and restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of Chicago. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for mayor.
Crime in Chicago continues to increase. Community and politicians must come together to make a change. No one person can solve the problem by themselves, but I believe together we can make progress. Let's provide job training, economic growth, and invest into our 77 communities. Let's rebuild and restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of Chicago. I'm Dr. Willa Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for mayor.
And I was blessed enough to see Dr. Willie Wilson yesterday.
That's what we do here at the Female Solution. Thank you so much for joining us and hanging in there with us. We are being joined this morning by the executive producer, Naima Latif. And there she is, grand rising, my beautiful sister of the microphone. Welcome to Monday Morning Mindfulness.
It's always a pleasure to be here on Monday Morning Mindfulness with
Cheating. Why do I stay? Part three. Last year was a doozy. Last week was a doozy. We did not anticipate what we had, but it was a good day. It was a good day. Cheating, why do I stay? Oh, I forgot to add part three there. But that's the question. That's what's on the agenda this morning, because so many people are in unhappy, fulfilling relationships, and they don't know that they have a choice not to be.
They have a choice. Well, you know, the thing that probably made this such an intense episode, so many people go into relationships with the fear that someone's going to take their loved one from them. And the reality is nobody can take away someone who loves you. If they love you, they love you. And if the love dies, it dies. No one takes someone from someone else. We are having difficulty accepting when people's feelings change. Or we're believing that if you have a marriage contract with someone, that means they have to stay with you no matter how badly you treat them. And that doesn't happen. People are not going to just stay and stay and stay with them and feel bad. So we stop trying to be nice. We stop trying to keep ourselves even physically appealing. We stop trying to be pleasant. And we feel like, well, I own you now because I have a marriage license, and therefore you can't leave. And they do. So, and it goes on both sides. Both male and female, we're both guilty of believing that we own someone when we marry them, and they have to do.
Because we've been taught that way, that you own someone, and you don't own anything but the breath that you breathe. That's all you own. We believe things outside of ourselves, and that is not the truth of who we are. You cannot force an individual to be in a relationship if they don't want to be in. And you don't have to stay in a relationship that is not healthy for you, because we don't realize that the energy, especially the negative energy that someone else is bringing to this experience, it affects us mentally, physically, and emotionally. You wonder why you get a headache, your stomach's in a knot. You don't feel comfortable in your own skin. You don't feel safe. You don't feel like you want to feel. You want to feel happy and a lot, not necessarily happy, because, you know, happy is a state of being that you have to get to. But you want to feel rest assured in the relationship that everything's okay. And that Naima is back.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you loud and clear. Go right ahead.
Great. Yes. Sorry, y'all. Yeah, my computer wasn't plugged in as I thought in this part.
That'll happen. I'm going to get me some tea.
Well, as you go, I will continue.
Okay.
With the thought that we have to change what we understand about love. Love is from one's own free will. And they have anyone who loves us, their emotions belong to them. We don't own anyone's emotions. And there is nothing that anyone can do to make someone love you if that love has gone. What we can do, we can continue to enhance love by treating people fairly and kindly and with affection and consideration. When you do that, then love will not leave. Now, what we get worried about is if somebody's going to be attracted to someone else. And this is where we have the misconception that someone is taking someone from us. No one is taking anyone from anyone. Everybody has the right to be as attractive as they choose to be, as pleasant as they choose to be. They have that right to be their best self. Now, if you happen to have a mate that finds attraction to someone else, why does that upset you if they, in fact, are also still attracted to you? So think about that for a minute. You're incorrectly believing that you should be the all there is to a person so that no one else is attracted to them or they're not attracted to anyone else. You're believing that you should own the right to their emotions. That is impossible. You cannot own the right to another person's emotions. You do, however, have the power to increase the love they have for you by being lovable, by being kind, by being encouraging, by being loving, trusting, affectionate. You can do all those things and the love will remain. But if you're unpleasant and they find someone who's pleasant, that they're attracted to, that person didn't take them from you. You threw them away because you were not loved. So that's the first thing. someone take someone from you, but a person could love someone or be attracted to someone in addition to you. Now, think about that thought for a moment. How is that hurting you? If they feel that someone else they see or get to know is someone pleasant, whose company they enjoy, how is that hurting you? Think about that. The way we're going to heal these relationships isn't by trying to force somebody to not feel for someone else. That's not going to work because it hasn't been working. And there have been many, many, many ways that both sides have tried to make someone their property and make someone not feel for someone else. None of those ways. And we talked about that before. You know, men who worry about if women are going to be unfaithful. And all these various cultures where they try to keep women controlled. I mean, what is it? The chastity belt that the Europeans use, you know, to put a covering over your genitals so that you...
How crazy is that?
And only your husband had the key.
Okay. Is that love this or what? Are you serious?
Yeah. I mean, you can't even clean yourself because you're locked up.
Get an infection. That way he can't get none either. Lord, I know.
And then you got a lot of East Africans.
Oh, yeah.
Female circumcision.
Oh,
so if
yeah.
I cut off the part that's the most sensitive, then you will enjoy sex anyway, so that way you won't be unfaithful. And there are some people who practice that. They believe, okay, well, it's worse because women don't enjoy sex. Okay? And you want to have a relationship with somebody who feels nothing?
Right.
So, you know, that's not really working. And then you had, well, in China, you just break the feet of the women. So, okay, female girls, their feet got broken early in life, you know, but they bound them up tightly so they wouldn't grow. So you can't walk. So they can't walk away. Therefore, you can't stray. You can't commit adultery. You can't have another lover because you can't walk. That didn't work too well either. Mm-hmm. They just stopped that within the last century. You know,
no.
So all kind of crazy things that men have done to try to keep women from having sex with someone else or being attracted to someone else or being involved with someone else. Now, just I'm talking about lipid. Let me just throw this in here. And I want you all to respond to this. In a lot of Muslim culture, the idea is you don't want somebody else to be attracted to your wife. So she's covered where you can't see anything to her but her eyes. And the idea is, well, if you can't see it, then you won't want it. So she doesn't show her body to anybody. Now, think about that for just a moment. Okay. If nobody can see her, and she basically has no identity, you kind of get used to a person, maybe their walk, their eyes, or whatever. But the idea is that no man will be tempted because he can't see her. And how well is that working? Well, you have a lot of women who are resentful of women who are beautiful, saying, you tempted my husband with your beauty, and so you get a lot of women attacking women for, you know, not covering themselves. But the idea is still, you want your husband's affection to belong to you. And you're accusing this woman of taking him away because she's choosing to be beautiful. She has a right. God gave her beauty.
And it's not her fault she's beautiful.
And she's
and
not
it's not her fault.
Look.
Thank
you.
Know,
choosing. And still, who she is not her body. She's the soul inside the body. If he loves you, he loves the soul that you are.
Thank you.
But it doesn't hurt me to be beautiful in his presence. Because if you look like a dish rag when he gets home and he sees all these other women who ain't covered up and they looking beautiful, you can't say that he's immoral, wrong, and an indecent person. He's a human being. And people are attracted to each other. So the idea, and then, of course, making young women feel like they're indecent because they feel that urge to celebrate their beauty. So you can't be beautiful because other women who feel ugly are going to be jealous.
So why do I have to suffer? Because of your insecurities.
Right.
Really?
So I put that thought out there because I want us to evolve in our understanding that when it comes to affection between people, if it's love, it's from the heart, and it has to do with what the heart is receiving. So if you are being kind and loving to someone, you're going to attract people. But that doesn't mean they're bad because they're attracted to the beauty of your soul. Now, we get obsessed about whether or not somebody's going to be sexually intimate. And again, that is a decision between two people. And you can't control or own someone else's body, even if you're married. It's still a personal choice. And you can't make them belong to you. If they choose to share an experience with someone else, that is a personal choice. Their family can't decide they can't do it. A religious institution can't decide they do it. A government can't decide they can't do it. It's their body and their choice. And when you accept that reality, then rather than trying to make people belong to you, you will allow love to be what it is, which is a free will choice. So, that having been said, there's a difference between a loving, intimate relationship between two people who have agreed that they have a bond that they are choosing to develop with each other, and simply using someone's body for your physical pleasure without any regard to their emotions or their feelings or their will. That's two totally different things. We sometimes don't know the difference because we don't teach the difference, because we're not teaching what love is. What do we say? That spiritual energy exchange, that's what it is.
S-E-X. And we don't know that. We think it's about the good feeling.
Yes. But it's a whole bonding process. So when you have that process and it's a true spiritual energy exchange, it's something that you choose to do exclusively because you want it to be special. You want it to grow. You want it to continue to bond you. You don't have to be forced. You don't have to be chained to someone. You don't have to be restricted in where you can go and what you can do and who you can talk to because you're doing it out of your free will. What is that saying? If you love something, set it free. If it comes back to you, it's yours.
It's yours.
If it doesn't, it never was.
It never was.
So you can't make someone be your exclusive partner. They choose to be your exclusive partner. If they change their mind and don't want to be exclusive with you anymore, they have that free will to do so. And even if you have a marriage license, you can't control their heart.
No, you cannot. And women have got to stop blaming other women.
Yes.
I'm going to beat her down because she looked at my man. I am going to do such and such. Your man has a mind of his own. He looks, excuse me, men are visual. That's just a fact. Us, we are too, but not so much. But why, and this is a question for the women, why do you attack the woman that your man is with when the man is the one that you are living with?
He's the one who made the choice.
He made a choice, correct.
And this is why I say that about the whole practice of, okay, well, if you don't look attractive, then you wouldn't have attracted him, so it's your fault because you looked good and he looked at you and you took him away and you're an awful person. We
mm-hmm.
have to change that thought.
Mm-hmm.
Because people have a right to be beautiful, and they have a right to show their beauty. They have a right to enjoy their beauty. They have a right to be beautiful. It's a gift from God. They have a right to enjoy how they feel about how they look. And if you understood beauty, you would understand that everybody has beauty. And you would enjoy your own beauty. And you would appreciate your own beauty. And you wouldn't be jealous of somebody else's. Because you would see the beauty in all things. Because all things have it. Because all are creations of God. So why are we blaming other women if a man that we think is ours is attracted to another woman, as if she did something wrong for radiating the beauty in her soul, the beauty on her face, the beauty of her body, whatever it is that attracted him? Why are we angry at her for being herself?
Right. That's like saying you're mad at God.
Yeah, that's like, there you go. I'm mad at God for making you.
You made her more beautiful than me. That ain't right.
Right, that ain't right.
Really?
So that's going to be a hard pill for a lot of women to swallow.
And beauty is an inside job.
Baby, we ain't going to be attacking no woman because she attracted what you say is your man because you don't own a person.
Mm-mm.
You cannot own a person.
Mm-mm.
They are here for a journey, for a time, and they leave, they go back to their creator. We all do. So you don't own anybody. Nobody owns anybody.
No, you don't.
And sometimes we don't get that until that person leaves. And you can't say to God, oh, you took my man. No, I didn't. Wait a minute. I created this person. How you going to call him yours?
Thank you.
Bring that phone to me.
Where you get that one from?
Yeah, where you get that from? So, you know, if we understand that a relationship is something we are to enjoy with someone, to treasure with someone, to value with someone, and to enhance it by our good treatment of someone, then we will not be in fear if that person's eyesight, affections, heart, or whatever moves them to see the beauty and attraction in someone else. We will not fear that because his or her emotion will not have diminished toward us if we are still loving toward him. And so now we talk about, do I own exclusive rights to your body? I have signed a marital contract with you in terms of this license that we have. We are husband and wife. I own the rights to your body. You may not share your body with someone else. Is that what we have agreed on? Now, if that is the agreement, and that's what both people have agreed on with their own free will, we're building this exclusive bond together. We're enhancing it with our sexual intimacy. This is what we are agreeing. Now, if at any point in that relationship, one or both parties decides they no longer want to be exclusive, they owe it to the other party to be honest and say, I am no longer desiring to be exclusively in an intimate relationship. They owe that person that right.
Yes, you do, whether you agree with it or not.
Yes. Now, they may be angry, but that is, at least you're being honest. You're not being deceptive. Because if you're involved in an intimate relationship with someone else, you must be honest with them as well. If you don't tell them that you are married to someone, and that means you have agreed to be exclusive with someone, then you're cheating them out of the respect of telling them the truth so they can decide if they want to be involved.
And you're cheating yourself for not being honest.
You're cheating yourself for not being honest because you are then diminishing your own dignity and self-respect.
And you wonder why you feel the way you feel about yourself.
Yes. So if you are going to change what you feel about the relationship that you agreed to, which is marriage, and exclusivity, then be honest with all parties. And then all parties can decide, do they want to be involved with you or do they don't want to be involved with you? And if you reach a point where the person that you have married says, I want our marriage to continue and I want you not to feel for this other person, then you have to decide, well, can I cut off my feelings for this other person?
Cut off your feelings, really?
Or is that something I'm not going to do? Therefore, the honorable thing for me to do is to release you from this marital contract because I'm not intending to honor it, and I don't want to be a dishonorable person. That is a choice because it's like with any contractual agreement, either you're honoring it or you're not. If you're not, then don't be in it. Because then you're dishonoring the other person who you want to be with, but you won't give them the honor and respect of being in a relationship with you that you can be in openly.
And dishonoring yourself because you're staying in it in a place that's not healthy.
Right. So the difficulty difficulty that we have is that we have created a culture in which the idea of marriage is ownership, and it doesn't work. So when something doesn't work, you gotta revise it, and you gotta come up with something that's workable. And now, last Wednesday, we brought up what we had talked about before, the marriage contract we had devised, which spells out what the agreement is between two people. And it gave them more or less an out clause, which, you know, if you decide you want to end this exclusive relationship, then we agree we're going to split our assets, and, you know, amicably 50-50, and then whatever I brought into the relationship, I take out, you know, if I brought the TV, if I brought the car, you know, if you brought the dog, that's yours, I take what's mine, you take what's yours, mm-hmm. whatever it is, if we're splitting. And we can do this without going to court and paying lawyers. We're going to agree to do this amicably and agree to co-parent our children if they're still minors. We're going to agree to this ahead of time so we don't have to get the courts in our business. We don't have to fight each other and pay a bunch of money and try to break each other. We can agree to this. Now, there's a clause in the contract, and we got to the end of the show, and people are like, okay, maybe we need to talk about this next time. So we're going to continue this coming Wednesday. The particular clause, if you want to add someone in your life as this is called a life partnership contract. If you want to add somebody in your relationship as a life partner, and they, you know, find the same contractual agreement, then you may do so without canceling the first contract, meaning you can have a relationship in addition to this relationship, and it's all legitimate, and you agree to allow either party to do that. Now, what frightens a lot of people as they heard that, women have the same right to do that as men, according to this contract. So if a woman says, well, you know, there's another man that I want to be involved with, in addition to you, because I love you too, but I also like to be involved with him. You're agreeing to that. And that, I think, was disturbing to men. Now, they were willing to have it be where...
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I need to have my wife.
Mm-mm.
Oh, you can have my
I can take him. I can handle this.
Yeah, yeah. So... But in all fairness, if you want to truly allow people the freedom to love, then you will allow both parties. And that means you understand what love is. Love is one's own free will. And you can't own a person's relationship or body. If they choose to be exclusive with you, that is a free will choice. You can't make it be. There used to be a time when people got killed for adultery. I mean, that we have that in our history. You know, the woman being stoned and, you know, beheaded.
Burned at the stake. That's over with.
That's over with.
We come a long way, baby. We come a long way. Right now, we got to take a commercial break. It is 803. If you're online, you want to call in 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Do you worry about finances, family, health, job, relationships? Are you in pain? Do you feel stuck? If you answered yes to any of these questions, help is available. Don't worry, you're not alone. It's part of the human process. You only feel this way because you haven't mastered the voices in your head. No hype, just down to earth, solid, workable tools and techniques that you can practice daily. It's really food for the soul. Whether you want to learn how not to worry about anything, reverse type 2 diabetes, publish a book, promote your product or service, or just make extra money. To take advantage of the deal of the day, go to ZeldaSpeaks.com or call 312-409-6619. Mention promo code The Female Solution and get free shipping. That's ZeldaSpeaks.com or 312-409-6619. Stop worrying today. Visit ZeldaSpeaks.com.
We have an opportunity to transform the whole global society in the next 50 years. 50 years from now, the Earth will be populated by a new generation of adults, many of whom are yet unborn. Our mission is to nurture them in childhood with love, guidance, and protection, and to raise them in healthy, happy families. If we impart values of compassion, generosity, and respect for fellow human beings in the next generation of children, they will create a world where people can live together in peace. This is our goal. Be a part of the transformation. Get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. Go to www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com.
Back here on The Female Solution, as you can see, this
is
the homeless project.
Because pain is going to take a long time and you need something right away.
Right away.
You're quite welcome. This is what we do. This is on behalf of the High Learning Network, people. 154
and
the other
166.
Yep. Six, so that's 10 people. So you can have something right away. And as time progresses, we can get individuals. Right now, we need ones right away.
Right.
If you would be so kind, y'all to grab the
charcoal.
And a couple of other bags on the back seat. Can somebody get this charcoal, please? That those tents fit 10 people. So it's like, it's not one of them. People are going to have to share some space until we can get enough for every individual. We ain't been to put nothing up. Y'all can put it up.
I can't believe
and,
he asked me if I could put it up.
Stuff here on the side.
Are you serious? But I just
Sarah.
Had to check. You can go to our YouTube page. I'm sorry, YouTube. Our Instagram page, hln.homeless.project, because we're always in need of tents. The list is endless. Tents, butane, blankets, socks, water, rain gear, you name it, they need it. Why do we do this? Because it is the human thing to do. And I asked Mayor Lightfoot, why is it that these refugees can come here from the Dominican Republic, Venezuela, and Colombia, and they find housing for them immediately, they find schools for them immediately, and they give them benefits immediately. So why can't we do this for our homeless? Mayor Lightfoot, would you please address that? I would love to hear that. Why? You're on Channel 2579 talking about the immigrants that are coming here from Texas. Well, we have plenty of people here who are homeless and in need of things. So please share this video. And if you can make a deduction, all the donations are tax deductible at higherlearningnetwork.org. And please continue to share and subscribe to the video while you're there. And last but not least, I've got to get in the Global Virtual Teen Talent Contest, which is every last Saturday of the month, where we have a contest from children all over the world who are competing for cash prizes and scholarships. And why do we do that? Because it is the human thing to do. And I invite you to encourage youth you may know who are between the ages of 13 and 19, sing, dance, act, rap, all that good stuff. It's on my blog, zeldaspeaks.wordpress.com. You can see the contestants, and you can see how your dollars will benefit. And the information to, we're on Zelle what's the other one, PayPal and all the other apps. Anyway, it's there. So just had to share that with you. So help us help the homeless, help us help the teens, and we appreciate those donations because they are tax deductible. So be sure and share that. And the next contest is September 24th, okay? And now back to the show with Naimu Latif on Monday Morning Mindfulness, Why Do I Stay Cheating? Part 3. Before we went to the commercial break, we had some calls here. And we're going to take some calls. Area code 111-1111. You are live on the air, Grand Rising. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Grand Rising's all on a Monday. It's supposed to be a holiday, but it's a wonderful day.
Who is this?
This is Obadiah.
Hi, Obadiah.
Wonderful, wonderful. Hey, you always talk about the awesome subject, but You know, just two things happened traditionally. That's a big stupid thing because he talked about women, men breaking women's feet and babies so that they can't move around. Isn't that sad? Society's traditions all screwed up. The reality is this. Women make the choices. This idea that men go around and grab you by the hair, you my woman, that does not work. Women have the internal organ and men have the outer exterior. Women put the internal in themselves, so they make the decision. So when a guy is just going to be nice to all the women, treat them all nice, be friendly to them, don't treat you one way or the other if you're not interested in them sexually. That is so slow. I mean, I really don't get it. Yeah, I mean, I really don't get it because if we're trying to reach a higher consciousness, right, Zelda? Then what does a higher consciousness got to do with laying on your back? That's not a higher consciousness. The higher consciousness is your spirit and your mind. We keep getting these weak people and aren't built up as individuals. They never go inside themselves and find out who they really are, find out what your purpose is in life. So when you meet somebody, you all can go down the road sharing something. But what we got is a society full of haters and competition and media that tells everybody this is what beauty is, and that's what cute is, and that's what, whatever happened to just common sense. None of that stuff matters. There's beauty in people. All of us have flaws. How about that? So the day that we can stop and be still, look for the best in people, try to find a way to enhance each other, that's the only way society's going to move forward. This men running women and women running men. Hey, in a basic relationship, when you meet somebody, they are going to make you a better person. Once you're a better person, you're not only a better person for yourself, you're more desirable to everybody. So how is somebody jealous because all of a sudden you're getting all this attention? If it was me, I'd be glad. Wow, you must be really doing a good job over there. But we get this mentality that this individual mentality, y'all. We're all collective. Even if you're married, marriages are supposed to go out to the community and show other people more. It's not like, I got my relationship and y'all ain't got nothing. That's ridiculous. And the last piece is this. The sad part is that it happens anyway, whether people think it does or not. So why don't we let the adults get together and have conversations so brothers and sisters can have half-brothers and sisters and aunties and all these other people together instead of separated. They would do a whole bunch better for the family and for our whole unit. But as long as we keep doing it the wrong way, it's getting worse and worse. This generation thinks it's okay for them to knock their grandmother down, snatch her purse, and drive off in her car. Now, what is right with that? Thank y'all.
All right, that's Obadiah from Chicago. Thank you so much for calling in and sharing your thoughts.
You know, one thing you said about family and community, when you have, you know, villages or small communities where everybody's connected some kind of way, you know, uncles, cousins, brothers, sisters, or even cultures where even what you, and how you address your elders, it's a family relationship, whether it's auntie or mama. You know, you have a lot of cultures where everybody is considered family, and there is a difference. You don't snatch a grandma's purse. You don't, you know, try to carjack her. I mean, you have respect for a family relationship. And he's right, that is missing, and that is something that has to be created. But now, one thing he said about women choose. That's not always the case in some cultures where women are put into arranged marriages because the family decides, okay, we want you to marry this guy because he's got money.
Yep.
She might be in a very loveless relationship, but this is what her family wants. And I have a lot of friends who've had that experience, you know, coming from cultures where girls are married off at a certain age by their family. And they may not even like the guy. You know, the intimacy might have been horrible, but they had to endure it. Now, that's about the worst situation I can think of.
Yeah.
Be intimate with someone on a sexual level that you don't like, they don't really like you, but you're doing it like a doobie. That's horrible.
You hate yourself.
Look
in the mirror and say, ew.
You know, be glad when they hear it. This is horrible. So we have some marriages that are not really marriages in the spiritual sense because there was not a meeting of the spirits where they both came together for the sake of love. They came together for the sake of convenience for the family, you know, which is the whole, and the hope is the love will grow. Sometimes it doesn't you really understood the spiritual intimacy that comes along with marriage and how that does help you to grow into a better person, that bond with another person. It's a beautiful, sacred bond when it is based in love. So when you have that, then that is something that enhances the lives of both people. We get afraid of people having sex, and that's where we get stuck at.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody having sex is not experiencing a spiritual energy exchange. Sometimes it's just a momentary feeling that's gone because the heart was not in it. And if you ever had loveless sex, you would not ever want that because it makes you feel empty. It's not enhancing you. But if you really have that close bond with someone, then you want to keep that bond. And you want to keep that bond by being kind and loving. You can't do it by threatening someone or beating someone down verbally or insulting someone. You enhance a love bond by being loving. That is how it works. So when we understand that, we never have to fear losing a love bond because we're continuing to love that person so that bond grows stronger and stronger. And the intimacy is even more beautiful because it's based in love.
It is 817-515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak if you would like to voice your concerns this morning, your questions or comments. Cheating, why do I stay? Part 3. Let's go to the phone lines. Area code 773-436. You are live on the Female Solution, Grand Rising. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hallelujah, greetings, Global Transformer, Wayo Inyah Shalom. This is Eve Angel Mama D, a Yanubian, the Eve Angel that is not hidden. Grand Rising.
Grand Rising. Thank you so much for calling this morning.
Okay. It is written in the Black History Bible book, whose hero is a woolly-haired man with bronze-colored feet to match his bronze-colored face. Oh, in vain how you worship me when you forsake the commandments to follow after the customs and doctrines of men. Thou shalt not commit adultery is one of those commandments. Also, a harlot can be brought for a loaf of bread, but an adulteress stalks your very soul. Obadiah and I were guest panelists on the Oprah Winfrey Show. And it just so happens that the subject was, can you be married and have a friend of the opposite sex? And what he told Oprah was, well, my wife is beautiful. And if she is beautiful to me, then she is beautiful to others. But the problem is when you go that one step beyond with this friend on the outside that wants to take your place, you know, a body snatcher, I want to snatch you out the way and I want to put myself in the way, or I want what you have and I'm going to have it. And this becomes threatening to the relationship that you have, and you go into mama mode or wifey mode, and you say, wait, this is a threat to my home and my family, and I'm going to resist the interference, and I'm supposed to stay because I'm in it. And I'm not supposed to let someone else come in and snatch what I am involved in. That is, it's like theft, you know? I'm just going to come in and move you out and move myself in because you don't own somebody. Of course you don't own them. There are plenty of women out here. When I met Obadiah, 33 years ago. There were plenty of women out here. He chose me. And he had a whole list of about 30 things. And he went through each one of those lists of things, and I met all those kinds of requirements. However, because I had had three divorces, I said three strikes and you are out. I had absolutely no interest in a fourth marriage, and I put up impossible odds. But he decided to meet them all. So it's not, people stay because, first of all, you're supposed to forgive people. That's one thing. And secondly, you have made a lifetime commitment, and you comprehend that your marriage, you courted this woman, but you married a community and other people, all the in-laws that is in your family, those people are going to be hurt and impacted. And as I said before, that is why Hillary stayed with Bill Clinton. That is why Mrs. Jesse Lewis Jackson stayed with Jesse Lewis Jackson, even though he brought a baby into the situation. You don't want to break up your family. That is why you stay. And this is why, that's what marriage is. It isn't, oh, well, the first little thing that comes up, I'm going to hop out and I'm going to do this. No, you love your spouse and you comprehend when he is in trouble, and it's your job to offer him that helping hand, that he gets the counseling or the whatever that he needs, then you, it's your job to do that, and vice versa. And so that is why people stay. And it shouldn't be looked upon as somebody is owning somebody else and all this other kind of stuff. That's not what it's about. What is happening, the divorce rate is so high because people hop in and they hop out and they don't work anything through. And that is, they don't have that stick to it. And they just, he was late for dinner, so let's get a divorce. You know? He crossed the street in the middle of the street instead of at the corners. Let's get a divorce. You know? And
okay.
That is sad.
Thank you so very much for calling in, for sharing that. We've got other calls we've got to get, but I want to thank you for calling in and sharing that information. Wisdom from the elders. Contract should not be where we have to denigrate, belittle ourselves just to be in a relationship. And if you're in a relationship that is not working, it's time to examine why you're still in it and why you're not willing to let it go. So what is it in you that is stopping you from releasing it? Let's go take some more calls. 779-801, you are live on the Female Solution Grand Rising. What's your name? Where are you calling from? And for those who are watching online, if you have questions or comments, you can type them in on Facebook, facebook.com, HLN TV show, or Zelda Speaks, or our YouTube channel, Higher Learning TV show. 779-801, your mic is open.
Grand Rising, and God, honor to giving honor to God, and greetings to all of you.
Grand Rising, my sister.
Yes. I just want to say that one of the things that we're neglecting to take into account is that we have inherited a culture of slavery that's not been healed and that has not been corrected. And one of the aspects of that culture is a result of the breeding practices of slavery. which created immense lust in people.
Okay, baby.
So lust, there's part of that culture of slavery is a culture of lust, where boundaries were just totally wiped out as it relates to who you have sex with and who you don't have sex with. It was just whoever I want to have sex with, that's who I have sex with. My mother, my sister, my brother, it didn't matter. There were no boundaries in slavery. And those aspects still exist in people today. People usually end up in jail as a result of it, but the problem exists, and the problem cannot be ignored. It is real, and it has to be healed. Lust, you have brothers lusting after sisters and fathers. You know, imagine a father instructing a son to have sex with his sister. Pardon me?
Go ahead.
Imagine a father instructing his son to have sex with his sister. There's a boundary then that is totally eliminated. And that son will go through life just lusting after women. It doesn't matter who it is. He can't express love or sexual infidelity within a relationship because his lust exceeds everything because it's been accentuated within the family structure. So these are things that are going on, and they can't be ignored. And so you have people getting into relationships who are full of lust. They can be marriages. And you find that they'll be still having sex with everybody. And then you wonder why cheating is beyond cheating. It's not just cheating. It's a mental and emotional illness that is spurring this person to do what they're doing.
Ooh.
And to ignore that is to ignore the real problem. Slavery disabled us as a people. In the state of Mississippi, the Constitution was revised shortly after the Emancipation Proclamation. And they stated that the purpose for that revision is to destroy the manhood of the Negro citizen through to success. Now, you can ignore that, and that's verbatim. That can be ignored if you want to, but you have to deal with what were the things that were set in motion to destroy the manhood of the Negro citizen. I think that the greatest thing that was put into force was violations to African-American women, that women became just whatever men wanted to do to them, they could do that to the women. And that's, again, the erasing of the boundaries that allow respect and principles to exist in relationships. These are things that have to be taken into account. I'm repeating myself. But I want to elaborate it because it's so important. So now you think you can just jump into a marriage that looks like what white folks have set up and everything's going to be hunky-dory. No, but then all these other problems show up because you haven't examined them and haven't had a family discussion about them. So now they present themselves as a problem, and you can't solve the problem because you can't go back to the source. The source is real. Slavery affected us.
Yes, it did.
When we
yes.
agreed to, you know, just because we started mimicking some of the white folks' issues and institutions, that didn't mean that those problems have gone away. So please take that into account.
Go away. It'll be a long, long time because we've got to do the inner work that's necessary. And most of us want to do that because of whatever reasons. It's just easier to pick up your cell phone or be on the computer than to spend some quiet time with yourself, research yourself, spend some quiet time things, and because you don't have to accept anything that's given to you. It is 8:30. It is time. Thank you so much, Maika. We've got to take our next commercial break. Hang tight, and we'll be right back on The Female Solution.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. We are a part of the online network of Associated Internet Radio hosts, On Air. On Air empowers you with transformative news and interactive radio TV shows. This is such a wonderful time to be alive and to see our human family coming together as one community as a result of that powerful tool, the Internet. We can now talk directly to each other all over the world. There's no need for conflict or misunderstanding. There's no need for violence to solve our differences. We can talk to each other face to face until we reach an agreement. On Air offers a fantastic global guide to communicators from all over the world who are using their internet platforms to inspire us to strive to be our best selves in order to become the kind, compassionate, loving people we were all born to be. Once we do that, we'll see planet Earth transformed into a place of peace. Subscribe to the recommended YouTube channels, Facebook pages, and podcasts created by these Voices of Enlightenment. On Air provides daily news briefs and a weekly magazine to keep you abreast of events and opportunities. On Air news affiliates in television, radio, and print share information, insight, and interviews with notable personalities. Go to onaireverywhere.com for a daily dose of uplifting news. We're on air everywhere, online all the time.
And that is the Female Solution. Excuse me, not the Female Solution. That is the On Air News Network. If you are not familiar with it, do yourself a favor and check it out. It is onaireverywhere.com, produced by our very own executive producer, Naima Latif, who is joining us here this morning on Monday Morning Mindfulness, and who has come up with a wonderful idea for us all to participate in the Cheat Retreat. Why do I stay? It's going to be taking place right here on the Blog Talk Radio channel and on the Female Solution channel and on the Higher Learning Network channel. Every second Saturday, because this is such an issue in all communities, that we want to help those who are struggling in their relationships. And what's so important about this is that we are focusing not on the other person, nothing outside of ourselves, but what's inside, why we do the things we do. Why do we continue to allow to be in relationships that don't heal us and make us feel good about ourselves? And what are some of the alternatives that we're doing about it? So mark your calendar for September 10th. Every second Saturday of the month, we'll be doing the Cheat Retreat. Why do I stay? And you can find that information at onaireverywhere.com. So please share that with someone, because we all need to know and how to love ourselves before we give that love to someone else, because most of us don't. I remember being at a church 20, 30 years ago, Unity of Chicago on the north side, and I was asked, I was doing photography at the time, and I was asked to photograph an event, and I said, and he asked how much you charge, and I was like, oh, nothing, I'll do it, you know, because it's for the church, I'll do it free. He says, you don't love yourself. And I was like, what do you mean I don't love myself? I do love myself. See how good I look? Got my camera here. I'm all professional. He says, nah, that's the outside job. I'm talking about the inside job, because if you loved yourself enough, you would charge a fee for the work that you're doing, because I've done photography and I know how time-consuming and how costly it is, and you're doing it for free. This church has money.
Yeah.
Thank you. So why are you giving yourself away? And that left me that whole day and the rest of my life. Why am I not valuing myself? The skills that I've acquired. I went to school for this, and tuition is not free at Columbia College. So I had to ask myself those questions, and those are some of the kind of questions you're going to have to ask yourself, because this is an ongoing, as long as Maika said, as long as you are on planet Earth, you have to ask yourself the question, what is it that I need to do to please me? And it's not always about somebody else, especially if you're in a marriage.
because marriage will take you to a place that you don't want to be, keep you there longer than you don't want, than you want to be there, if you don't have the tools necessary to navigate that relationship, because there, you know, it comes in waves. Naima, you know, you were married for what, 20 years?
20 years, and I'm so grateful for that experience, because during that process, I grew as a person, and of course, my husband grew, and this was actually a third marriage for him.
Mm.
It was my first, you know, my first and only so far.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I live long enough, you know, there'll probably be a second, maybe even a third, because I plan to live a long time.
Mm-hmm.
if it's in the cards for me too, so. But what I learned, and I want to address some things that Mama D and Maika said, because both of them shared some thoughts that I think we need to take a look at.
Mm-hmm.
When you marry someone, you're not just marrying that person. You are marrying their family. And in the case of my husband and I, we were part of a spiritual community, a global spiritual community. So our marriage was affecting other families in that community as well. And this will happen when I came into that community. Almost all of the African American families in Chicago had just gotten divorced, and it had a very shattering impact on the community. And I had to really examine, okay, what went wrong in these marriages, and what I discovered, because we belong to a global Muslim community. That means there are people from all over the world, you know, Nigeria, Pakistan. Malaysia, you know, it's all over the world. But we as African Americans, and Maika kind of alluded to the fact that our culture was so shattered by that slave experience. So we're trying to rebuild our family structure, and a lot of us didn't even know how. You know, didn't even know what a marriage looked like, because on the slave plantation, there had become the practice of breeding, where you just having sex to have babies. So that whole structure of reverence for a partner was destroyed, and we were just abusing others and being abused. So those of us who joined spiritual communities, we were really trying to rebuild that sense of decency and honor with the opposite sex. And what happened to us in my Muslim community among the African Americans, trying to rebuild a family structure, we imitated the culture of Pakistani. A lot of them would have arranged marriages where, you know, family would choose somebody for their son or daughter, and you just married. You might not even know each other until your wedding night, you know. And then from that, you just build a relationship. So you start out with the sex, and then you build love from there. That's kind of how it went, even though the idea was we're joining two families. Okay, and it worked for them. It worked for them. It didn't work for us. It was disastrous for us. Because you can't, in this culture, it doesn't work because you don't have the families that have the same kind of cohesive background. You didn't have two families that knew each other and knew the children. Didn't have children who maybe grew up playing together and kind of already knew each other. All those different things that made that structure work for them didn't work for us, because we had shattered and somebody else culture didn't work for us. So when I came into the community, my husband and I, one of the first conversations we had was like, why is everybody in this community divorced? Why are all the black people divorced? And then we examined that this is what it was. And part of us looking into that was even a motivation for us in doing further research into what happened to us and developing the book, which we co-wrote, Slavery, the African-American Psychic Trauma. Because we're still traumatized by the experience of being used like mating animals to breed children. We're still traumatized by that. We still have a lot of men that are still influenced by that slave stud culture of going out and getting as much sex as you can, and that's your definition of man. So we're still trying to figure out how to rebuild a family structure that works. And a lot of us are still damaged by what our ancestors experienced, and like my ego saying, having no boundaries of who you have sex with.
Yeah.
So here we are today. We're trying to build family. And I agree with what Mama D says about, you know, when you marry somebody, that is a bond, and it's not just you. You're affecting other lives. So you realize when you split, you would cause a rupture in your personal family and the community. Because part of what keeps the community stable are stable families. So you realize that if you make a commitment to someone, you're committing to the community. That's why marriages are public events. Because this couple is saying, we're creating a foundation upon which the community can continue to build. That's what we're doing. And every broken family raises the community a little more, which is why we have 14-year-old carjackers out there. Because broken families, no structure, no elders, no respect, fear that they're not going to be taken care of because, you know, parents are gone, they're raising themselves. So we see the effects of broken families. The biggest challenge that we have is figuring out what makes a good marriage and why should I stay. Now, if there is love between the people and honor between the people and respect between the people, then you stay. What I have observed and what I saw was breaking up a lot of families. Men, sometimes women too, because actually it was both partners, stepping outside of the relationship and becoming emotionally and often intimately involved with someone else. So now you look at that and you say, is that a reason to end a marriage? And I was seeing a lot of children who were shattered because their parents had gotten a divorce. And usually, you know, when you divorce, you know, there's a difference in your economic situation because you're dividing up everything and each person has less than what they had when they came together. So I thought there has to be a way for us to not break up our family. And punishing people for their feelings is insanity because your feelings are what they are. If you are not causing pain to someone, there is no reason for them to end a marriage. Now, the question is, if I love someone and they love me and they also love someone else, are they causing me pain? And the answer is, love doesn't hurt. So why would I be in pain if someone loves someone else? If they also still love me? That's the big question that we've got to answer because our belief about love is incorrect. We're still thinking that love is exclusive when love is expansive.
Say that again. Love is exclusive or is it? Name?
Expansive. Now, one of the things in the religion of Islam, there was a major war which wiped out a lot of the young men, left a whole bunch of young women. So the revelation from the Most High, from God, from the Creator, came to the one to whom the revelation that became the Holy Quran was revealed, the Holy Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings of God be upon him. The revelation was given to men in order to deal with the disruption of the community life and so many women struggling alone was that men should add to their family by marrying these women and taking care of the orphan children. The first command was take care of the orphan. And then marry the women to help you take care of the orphans. So the whole focus was the children. Because you can't have children out here raising themselves because their parents have been killed in war. So take care of the children. Marry women that can help you take care of the children up to four, but no more than four. Because figure, you know, time-wise, you're going to really be able to be fair with four in terms of what you can do as a man. Yeah, equal. So that was the command given. And the commandments to treat them equally, even if in your heart you might not feel equal. But, you know, hey, if you buy a new dress for one, buy a new dress for another. I mean, just make sure nobody feels slighted, so there's no jealousy created by unequality. That was the instruction given. It was for the purpose of rebuilding community. And you always look at what is the purpose. Just like Mama D said, marriage is for the purpose of building community.
Mm-hmm.
You're building a family, it's connected to a community. So for the same purpose, not for, you know, a man can't control his sex drive and he needs more sex than one. That was not it. That was never the reason. The reason was to take care of the children, to create a stable community so that all the children would be raised in family where there was both the husband and wife assisting in raising them. That was what that was for. And, you know, there were African cultures where men had multiple wives, but there wasn't a command to create, you know, equality among them. So a lot of rivalry, a lot of jealousy, a lot of infighting, because there was no fairness. There was no system of fair and just and equal treatment. So there was anger and bitterness and rivalry, which means your children are not being raised in a household where there is harmony. You're being raised in a household where there's a lot of conflict.
Mm-hmm.
So by this decree being something that was spiritually based for the purpose of the collective good, the intention was that nobody be hurt. Nobody feel slighted. Nobody feel neglected. Everybody realized the importance of their contribution to the community. Now, that is spiritually correct. If we understand oneness, that means everybody's feelings matter. Everybody's needs matter. And this is to correct an error that we made in going to war with each other and killing up all of them. But war is something that we did wrong with killing each other.
Mm-hmm.
So if you understand the spirit of that, then you can understand it's what we do is greater than ourselves. The purpose of what we do is greater than ourselves. And to love means to love the whole. What is good for the whole? Because all need love. That is what the foundation of that is. It's challenging for people in these times to understand that if they have not been raised in a society that is loving. This is a very cruel and brutal society. So to understand the idea that we must have a structure that children can be raised and feel safe and secure and cared for, and every adult can be seen as that mama, that baba, that auntie, that uncle, instead of some stranger we can go knock in the head and snatch their purse. We have to rebuild something that doesn't exist. And right now, that kind of family unity, it doesn't exist until we rebuild it. And we can, but we can only do it with love. So now what was a controversy in the life partnership contract that we talked about last week, I said that this is a partnership contract that is not exclusive, meaning you give your partner the right to add someone to the family in terms of a partner. Men had no problem with that when it was women agreeing to that, because, you know, of course, you know, my co-host is a Muslim. So, of course, the Muslim men, they know that's part of the
culture.
The culture. But then when I said, both genders have that right.
Oh, no.
There are problems with that.
Oh, no.
No,
we ain't having that. Oh, there's a tribe in Africa, in Ethiopia, that doesn't even allow men in the area. Did you know that?
Yeah. And when it comes to women having multiple husbands, there is a group, and I believe it is, I'm not sure, somewhere in India, I got to research because I don't remember what it is, but what happened in that area, there was a shortage of women. So men had to share wives, and a woman would marry into a family, and she would be the wife of all the brothers.
Ooh.
That's how that was done. That's an adjustment they made based on the population.
That's a big mental adjustment.
Yeah, that's a big mental adjustment. So when it comes to family structure, you structure your families based on your population, the needs of the population, the ratio of male to female, and this is what I explained in the book, The Female Solution. Families are based on ratio of male to female, needs of the whole, how you take care of your children. Now, in the cases of some species of birds where there's a one-to-one ratio, okay, everybody got their own needs. But in case of, say, a herd of buffalo where there's a whole bunch of females and few males, well, then you know you have several females to one male. So you basically, you make the adjustments based on whatever the ratio is, but it really is all about how can we best raise our children in a safe and loving environment. That's the purpose of a family. So this is why it's difficult for us as a people to evolve to this level, because like Maika was saying, we've been so damaged by misuse of sex, being misused as people to breed children. And so our purpose even for having sex was not having a family, but to enjoy the experiment and then produce a baby that could be sold off. And the idea was that if you do this to people enough, you will kill the natural human capacity to care for their children, and then we can just have some people who just breed children. They thought that they could breed the humanity out of us, but that didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
We still are the same human beings, even though we might have really bad habits. And some of us, our emotional damage is pretty deep. And even the family histories of sexual abuse is pretty deep. We have a lot of healing to do. But the ultimate humanity that is inside of us, you cannot kill that, because that comes from God. And you cannot kill God. So this is why we can return to that family love and bond. But we do have to expand our understanding of love, because we have to include people in a family structure that is loving and caring, and we have to do it in a way that does not dehumanize them or shame them for being one who is sexual, because sexuality is part of humanity. And rather than us either misuse it or make it be something criminal, let us honor it by making sure it is part of a love relationship, a bonding relationship, a family relationship, where any children that are brought into that are loved and honored and cared for by both one mother and father, or in that, in the case, you know, stepmother, stepfather, whatever the case is. But every human being deserves a loving family. So that means we have a lot of growth to do, a lot of healing to do, and a lot of conversations to have about this, because the ultimate thing is feel the emotion that people feel if they feel threatened by someone else being attractive to their mate. That is the bottom line of what we're dealing with. What makes you fear that? And have you had a childhood experience of abandonment?
Ooh.
That would make you think someone loves someone else will abandon you.
You stepping on some toes, girl. You stepping on some toes.
That's where the fear comes from.
You stepping on some toes, because that is exactly what I am dealing with right now as we speak, now that I am aware of it. That's why I had this episode up here, the episode that we did, releasing the need that created the pattern, that pattern of emotions, that pattern of thinking. Until we get to that point, as our monthly contributor Lionel Abdul Haq would say, who hopefully will be back with us next month, he's here with us every first Monday of the month, is that we're having too much fun. All in the name of having fun. Ain't nothing wrong with having fun. Nothing. But
long
make some time. Repeat that.
Long as not at other people's expense.
Yes. And that fun needs to include some fun with me, some fun with self, learning the patterns that Naima just spoke about. That pattern of abandonment has been with me since my mom passed in 1969, and I was shipped south to live with an aunt that I did not know, never met, her sons, big old cotton-fed, cornbread-fed
kicked my butt, taught me how to wrestle, love them today. But that need that was within me was never fulfilled because I had that feeling of abandonment. And until I learned to release that, which I'm still working on right now, I do my affirmations. Remember, I talk about meditate to activate. I am activating that power that is within me that reassures me that I am perfect, whole, and complete just as I am. I do not need to feel any way other than whole and supreme. And that's a whole other show. And that's something that I'm working on to be sharing with you on Teachable so that we can take this as a step-by-step process because, you know, it doesn't happen overnight. I'm almost 70 now, and I am just figuring this out. So it's a process. So please don't beat up on yourself. Continue to have fun, but have some fun within, too, as we learn to release this need that creates the pattern. And we'll be, I'll post all that on my blog, ZeldaSpeaks.wordpress.com.
So that's the challenge that we have is discovering what is within us that creates fear or anger, and what is it, what experience did we have that causes so much pain that we don't want to repeat it. What creates anger. The fear that someone's going to make us repeat a painful experience.
Yeah.
If we've had abandonment, if we've had rejection, if we've had any of those hurtful things happen to us as children, particularly from the parents that raised us or the opposite sex parents, that's going to affect our ability to trust someone in a relationship.
Especially the children. You know, you hit it right on the head, Naima. So many of our children are feeling abandoned because parents are out having fun, working, not all having fun, but working and working and working to buy them the things that they want, and they're not spending quality time with them. And I'm learning that through the Global Virtual Teen Talent Contest, which is every last Saturday of the month. If you are not spending quality time with your children and just buying them things and buying and buying and buying, they're going to resent you at some point in life. They love you right now because we all love shiny new things. But eventually that's going to turn against you, and that's not what you want. So be sure and check out the blog, ZeldaSpeaks.wordpress.com, and you'll see the information. Please share this video because our children have untapped talents, and they've had them for a while. And if we don't nurture them, who will? Who is this? Conversations Over Pie. Great job, sister. Thank you so much, Conversation Over Pie. That's a new name. Never heard that one before. 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak. I'm going to show a crazy video. I'm not going to show it right now because it's 8:58 and I need to play the ending. But you all hold tight. Do you have time for it after show today, Naima?
Sure. I am free today.
Okay. Let's play. Hang in there.
We've come to the end of our show today, but you can hear every show in the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. You can also hear today's show on the Female Solution Facebook page. Go to www.facebook.com/thefemalesolution. Leave your comments about today's show. You can always reach me on my website at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. Watch our TV shows, listen to our radio shows, order our books, and be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, Sheshe, India, Zanyaba, Japan, Arigato, Korea, Kamsahamnida, Russia, Spasiba, Germany, Danke, Poland, Jeong Kunyung, France, Merci, Spain, gracias. Italy, grazie. Egypt, shukran. Ghana, medasi. Nigeria, eshe. South Africa, ngiyabonga. Senegal, jeret. Kenya, asante. Israel, toda. Pakistan, shukriya. Afghanistan, tashakor. Saudi Arabia, shukran. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you. And may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessings.
We are officially in the after show, and if you are wondering what you are looking at, this is some of the footage from the African Festival of the Arts. It is taking place right now as we speak in Washington Park, which is on 51st and Cottage Grove. And had such a good time there yesterday. I just wanted everybody to see the fun that was there. And it's all going on. Today is the last day. Today is the day to get the best deals. Yeah, especially the closer, the later it gets to you at the end of the day. I just love these baskets. I was like, wow, I've never seen baskets like this before. Isn't that gorgeous? I just love it. So I just had to share that with you all. That's on our YouTube. Is that on our YouTube page? Yeah. I'm pretty sure it is. It is on, this one is on our Facebook page, HLNTV1.
Oh, look at the baby. Isn't he gorgeous? Hi, beautiful.
Aww. Oh, isn't she cute?
Isn't she cute?
Okay, well, I just wanted to show that to you. You can go back and look at it. That footage is on Facebook.com. We've got, don't ask me how we got all these Facebook pages. Facebook.com. That one is on HLN TV 1. That's not on TV show. That's on HLN TV 1. So you can see that.
I have never seen basketball.
That's on HLN TV 1. But I just had to show that to you. Okay. Now, let's get back to the show. But I'm just having such a good time. I want to share that with you. So thank you for allowing me to share that with you this morning. You can go in and see it yourself. Oh, beautiful things. Anyway, that's on Facebook.com, HLNTV1. We are officially in the after show of Cheating, Part 3, Why Do I Stay? And this is where it gets really, really, really good, because the after show is sometimes better than the whole show. I shouldn't say that, should I? I mean, it gets good.
And, of course, if y'all didn't call in before 9, you're going to be able to get on Switch Sports. You got to make your comments on our Facebook page, Higher Learning Network, .org Facebook page or YouTube channel if you want to make comments.
Yeah.
But if you're on Switch Sports, you can certainly still press 1.
Yeah, because we see you. We see you. All you got to do is press 1.
Now, the thing about it, and again, this comes with the way we've been trained to think. The idea is, if this person loves me, and they truly love me, then they are incapable of loving someone else. And if they say they love someone else, then they have disrespected me. That is the thought that we are carrying when we think, I'm going to leave this person for cheating on me, so-called cheating. But now, is that thought that someone who loves you cannot love someone else, and if they love someone else, then they are disrespecting you, is that thought correct, or is it incorrect? Now, of course, if you know what love is, you know that thought is incorrect. Love is something that grows, and it is not exclusive. This is why we can say God loves everybody. And if we're reflections of God, then we have the capacity to love everybody.
So now there are different kinds of love. There is the altruistic love, you know, I love my dog, I love my cat, I feed them, I make sure they have warmth in the wintertime. I care for their well-being. I water my plants. I love them, you know. I love my mother. I love my father. I love my friends. You know, I share what I have with them because I care for their well-being. I love them. And then there is the romantic love. I love this person on a different level where I wish to have a special bond with them. That's the kind of love that we argue over and we don't want to share with another because we feel that it should be exclusive, and if it isn't, then we've been cheated out of love. And that's an incorrect thought in terms of being cheated, because love is something that is not confined or restricted. It is something that can grow, and it is something that can be felt for more than one person. You have people who've grown up in families where maybe they were a child that was born in a family, and then their parents got ready to have another child, and they were angry because they felt like, I'm going to lose love. This new baby's going to get all the attention, and I'm going to be rejected. Now, that's a fear that they had, and so they might have been real mean and hurtful and bullied and beat up their little brother or little sister because they resented that person because they felt that person was going to take love from them because they didn't perceive that their parents could love both children. And you had some families where the parents did love both children. Maybe they were partial to one. You know, your little sister's prettier than you, or your little brother, you know, he's smarter than you, and so then you experience a loss of love. You experience where someone replaced you. You experience where you felt someone took love from you. So if you had that experience in your family where maybe a sibling was preferred over you, the idea of being able to share a mate, you can't do that because you experience someone that you felt took love from you in the form of a sibling that took love from your parents away from you, and you don't want to re-experience that pain. And so that's why things like resentment of someone or fear that someone could take love from you, that's where that comes from. It's fear of repeating a hurtful experience that you actually had in that area. So this is why it's important for even parents to understand, if you're going to have more than one child, how to teach these children to bond together as siblings and not feel like they're in competition for your love. And some parents do that because they think, oh, well, if I keep pointing out that your brother or your sister is better at something, I'll make you try harder. Well, no, you won't, because each person is individual and everybody has their own gifts and talents. So if you tell one, you got two daughters, and you tell one, oh, you're too fat. See how beautiful and slim your sister is? And you think you're going to make them lose weight by telling them that? No, you're going to make them hate each other.
Thank you.
You're going to make them hate them. So that doesn't work. Pitting people against each other doesn't work.
Never worked.
It's cruel, and it's mean-spirited, and it creates deep emotional wounds that don't heal. And if you create disharmony in your family, that's going to hurt you later on. So if you're a parent and you're raising children to compete against each other and to see each other as rivals for your love, when you get to be elderly and they can't come together and agree on your care because you've raised them to be enemies to each other, you're going to suffer. You're in a hospital, they can't decide whether you should get this kind of treatment or that kind of treatment. This one wants their way and the other one wants their way, and they're fighting each other, and they can't agree for your well-being because you taught them to enemies.
And that is not a good place to be. No harmony within the home front. If there's no peace at home, there's no peace nowhere. Because if you can't get it from home, where else can you get it from?
Absolutely. So even learning how to have that kind of harmonious relationship, it starts in the home. And it's difficult, you know, even in approaching the idea of expanding one's family. You know, you have people now that have blended families, a mother married somebody, she's got children from a previous relationship, a father married, he's got children from a previous relationship. So now you got to teach these children how to be sisters and brothers, and they don't come from the same mother and father. That's a challenge, because you want then the step-parents to give the same love to the step-children as they do to their birth children. Sometimes they can, sometimes they can't. So it takes a lot to understand what love is. Love is the desire for the well-being of the others. So if you're raising someone else's child that isn't your own, you didn't give birth to them or you didn't plant the seed for them, but they still need you to love them, that's a big challenge. And some people can do it, some people can't.
Creates a lot of resentment as well.
A lot of resentment. So you still have people who are dealing with the wounds of childhood. They might have been raised in families where there was a lot of conflict over, well, this ain't my child, you ain't my father, you ain't my mother, and, oh, well, she's better than you, or he's better than you. So if you had that growing up, and then you get to a point where you're trying to have a marital relationship, you bring all of that, all of the pain of that, all the memories of that, all the hurt of that, and you don't want to feel that hurt again. So you want a person to be exclusively bound to you. And you don't want to feel that they're going to be taken from you. You don't want to feel like somebody's going to make you feel like you have lost one that you love. You don't want that pain again. So it's difficult for people who've had that kind of experience to not be jealous or fearful or suspicious because they've had pain that they don't want to repeat. These are the kinds of things that you have to discuss with a person before you marry, because you need to know what is inside of them that they're going to bring outside of them once you marry.
And that's
going to see the effects of their life once you marry them. However they were treated, whatever they went through, the dynamics of their family, you're going to experience all of that within your marriage. So you have to talk about these things so that you can understand it when you see it. You know what it is. And most couples don't talk about these things because most men aren't even raised to talk about their feelings at all. Or
talk,
their pain,
period.
Security.
They don't talk until they're usually angry.
Yeah, and then it comes out destructive in, you know, either verbal abuse or physical abuse because they have not been taught to trust someone enough to just explain that they're in pain. So this is the kind of healing that we must do, to trust each other enough to explain what we experience that's still causing us pain.
And we often don't want to go through that because it's too painful.
It's too painful because you don't know if somebody's going to ridicule you and say, oh, you need to get over that.
Yep. And that's the worst thing to say to somebody, unless you have the tools and the techniques that are needed. Nothing's going to change. So you've got to take the time to position yourself to be in an arena where, an environment where you can learn these tools and techniques and spend some time with yourself. You know, fun is good. So have some fun with yourself. This is not all serious that you think it is.
Right.
You learn some things about yourself you didn't know.
Right. And we're here to have joy. We're not here to be in pain. We're not here to suffer. We're here to experience joy and share joy. That's what we're here for. Life is supposed to be fun. It's supposed to be enjoyable. It's supposed to be pleasant. It's not supposed to be a chore. It's not supposed to be sad. So if you're married, your marriage is supposed to bring you joy. It's not supposed to bring you sadness and pain and hurt. It's supposed to bring joy. You're sharing the joy that you have with someone else. You're sharing the joy. So in a family, let's say if you decide to be foster parents in your family and you bring a foster child into your home, you're not bringing them into your home to abuse them or to make them like Cinderella, okay, you do all the chores. No, you're bringing them into your home to share joy with them. That's what anybody being brought into a family is for, to share joy so that there will be more joy. That's what life is supposed to be for. It's hard for us to understand that if we have not experienced joy. Some people did not have joyful families. Some people had families that were always in conflict, always hurt, broken. So if you try to create something, you know what it looks like. You know, just trying to build a, like trying to build a house and you've never seen a house. You got to know what it looks like.
Right.
That's why architects draw a drawing first. Okay, this is what it's going to look like. So we have to know what a healthy family looks like. We have to know what a healthy marriage looks like. If the only thing you have to show you what a healthy marriage is like, two people arguing all the time and fighting all the time, eventually splitting apart and fighting over who's going to get the house and who's going to get the children. If that's the only vision you have, how are you going to create something that's healthy when the only model you have is unhealthy? That's the challenge that we have, what Mike is talking about with the slave situation, where for generations we had families that either were denied to be families because, oh, well, we need you to breed with this person. So you can't have no emotions. You know, just have sex. You don't need you. You can't have love.
Right.
You can have sex. You can bang some babies, but you can't be attached to her because I might sell you. I might need to get some money in and sell your baby. So, you know, learn how to have feelings.
Right.
Because we need you just to be sex partners.
Right.
So you had that experience. You know, you had people watching their loved one get beat to death, you know, and you know, trying to figure out how to, you know, woman, maybe I can offer my body so you don't kill my husband, you know. We had that. So we had multiple traumas trying to have loving families. So now that we are free to form families, a lot of us don't know how because we haven't seen it. We've seen damaged people get together and try to love each other, and they're too damaged to know what love feels like. It's really a challenge. And then it's not just black people that are going through it. Because white people, they're damaged from slavery in ways that we don't know. But that's a whole other show.
Yeah, that's a whole other show.
So every ethnic group has damaged themselves in something that they did in their culture, in their past, in their present, and they've caused a lot of pain and suffering, and people are walking around wounded. And the answer to all problems is love, but how do you love if you have never felt love and you don't even know how to love yourself?
Mm.
Like you said.
And you think loving yourself is dressing up, looking pretty, looking good, got your nails, got your hair, you know, everything is looking good. That's on the outside. But we're wounded on the inside. We're triggered so easily. And we wonder why we are the way we are.
Right.
We haven't taken the time to learn, to go within and listen. Do the work that's necessary. Yael Levon Zahn talks about it all the time. Who is Yael Levon Zahn? Google her. If you don't know.
If you don't know, yeah, you know by now.
I know you know about Fix My Life.
Right.
We got to do the work. We don't want to do the work. We'd rather go play. We'd rather go have some fun. That's too much painful. Sometimes you got to sit in that pain. Sometimes you just got to cry your eyes out and ask the Creator, what do I do next? That's why I tell you, go sit by a tree. All the answers are in nature. You got questions you need answers to. It's in nature. Nature is healing. But what do they do? Keep you inside in shoes with rubber where you can't touch the ground. Everything is designed to keep you off your square.
Isolated and separated. And I think one of our greatest fears is fear of loneliness.
Mm-hmm.
Fear of being alone and unloved. And if we've had that experience in childhood, we're left alone and unloved, that's a wound that has not healed. And that also will make us very fearful and insecure in our relationships because we're always afraid of someone leaving us and taking away the love.
And that is why the Creator gave me this idea, the cheat retreat, in which we will be discussing releasing those patterns, releasing the need inside of me that created the pattern where I feel that way and I do certain things to cover up that feeling. I eat myself to death. Red velvet cake, German chocolate cake, butter cake.
Yes.
the butter cookies, baby, please, if it had sugar in it, it had my name on it. So I was eating. That was covering up the,
yeah.
It was comfort food. It made me feel good just for the moment because, you know, the pounds add up after a while and heart disease and kidney disease and all that other stuff, and I wind up being a diabetic. But by the grace of God, I went and sat by a tree, and Diabetic Donut came to me. There's a Facebook page, Diabetic Donut ABC. Go and see it. Or go to diabeticdonut.com. Download the free. There is so much free information out. You just need to know where to get it. And to sit still and get quiet long enough in nature, the answers will come. I promise you. I wouldn't lie to you. It's there for the asking.
Yes. They say prayer is when you talk to God. Meditation is when God talks to you.
Amen.
So you have to be quiet and listen because you will get answers.
Because the answers come in a whisper. They don't come loud like we're talking to you now. Still, small voice, you got to open up the ear. See the ear? Got to open it up. These are my Will Smith ears. I used to hide my ears. I don't care now.
I call these my Will Smith. You hear a lot.
Yeah.
The ears are good.
Yeah.
But, you know, the first thing that you will hear, which will help to heal you, is that you are loved unconditionally. God is unconditional love. I mean, you don't have to do anything to earn it. You don't have to look certain way, you don't have to have a certain education, you don't have to have a certain amount of your bank account, you don't have to have a bank account, you don't have to
Thank
own
you.
Anything.
Drive a certain car, live a certain place, vacation a certain place, have a certain job, you don't have to have none of that.
You don't have to have anything. You are loved because you exist.
Thank you.
You are an expression of God. So once you understand that, that should remove the fear that anybody would have that they can lose love. You can never lose.
Can't lose what wasn't yours. That's not how it works.
Yes. Now, somebody can be attracted to your body, and then if your body changes shape and they don't like it anymore, well, that wasn't love. That
right.
was them attracted to your body because of how your body can make them feel.
Right.
It wasn't about you, it was about them. So if you lose that, you haven't lost anything. Really, you have not lost anything.
Haven't lost
That's
things,
not love.
But you don't
love
know
is
that.
From the soul. It does not leave you ever.
Yeah, but
it's part of you. Once you reach that level of love with a mate, it's never leaves. Now, people can do hurtful things to each other to a point where they can't forgive anymore, and so they split because they can't forgive anymore. That's when, and divorce happens when people feel that the other person's behavior toward them is too painful. Like you say, why do I stay? Well, if you're staying with someone who's hurting, then that means you don't love yourself. Because love doesn't hurt. Now, you can forgive someone whose behavior is hurtful, but if they can't be in your presence without hurting you, then you should love yourself enough to step away from them or put them away from you because you deserve to live in peace and you deserve to live in a loving environment. And if they're bringing pain, then they're not allowing you to have a loving environment. So you can lovingly let them go. But now, if they love you and you love them, but you discover that they have feelings for someone else and yet they never stop loving, then how are you going to handle the reality that their feelings for someone are inside of them? It's part of them, part of their soul, which you don't own. No one owns the soul of another. How can you grow to accept the love that's in their heart for someone else? And if you say our relationship, our agreement as husband and wife is that their love is exclusive for me, and they say, well, my love is no longer exclusive, it has grown, then you are stuck in a situation that you cannot change until you grow to a higher understanding of what love is. And you will be in pain until you grow. And that is where a lot of people are. They're in pain. But pain does not have to exist if you can understand the love of God. Because God's love is inclusive. And when you reach that point of understanding, then you have understood what love is, because love comes from God, and it is not exclusive or to be
restricted or contained, but to be shared.
As you said earlier, love is exclusive and expansive. I love that. And many of our listeners have, and viewers have, preconceived thoughts about what love is because that's what we've been taught. We have done the work to find out, and that's why we're going to do the cheat retreat, and people can participate. We've got a few comments here. Conversations over pie says, great job, sisters. Fiatta says, Grand Rising Queens. Mother Kai says, if you choose a worthy mate, then put the ring on it. All right now. All right now. All right. That's what Mother Kai said. Okay. And Conversations Over Pie says, Sissy Money. Viata says, marriage is not meant to be all joy, laughter, and comfortable. It's a school. Say that to teach us how to love unconditionally and solve problems. Oh, my goodness. Did you hear that, Tony? I'm a work in progress. Be patient with me. I'm still learning. I'm still in school.
It most definitely is, because you're going to, in that relationship, that unique relationship, you are going to reveal your innermost self. And some things inside yourself you didn't know were there. So your spouse is bringing that out of you for you to look at and resolve. Some of your greatest gifts, as well as some of your worst personality traits, are going to come out in that marriage.
Mm-hmm.
So now, if you can love someone unconditionally and say, I'm going to stay with you on your soul's journey until the end, and if you make that agreement, then that's what you're going to do. You're going to stay with them throughout their soul's journey until the end. As long as they're not threatening your physical safety, then you can stay in that relationship. And it doesn't mean you don't love yourself. It means you're willing to be patient with that person while they work on yourself, and they're willing to be patient with you while you work on yourself.
I need to say that again. As long as they don't threaten you bodily harm.
They're not putting you in physical danger because they're so out of their right mind that they can harm you. That's when you need to leave. Or even if they're emotionally abusive to the point where you feel like you're being damaged, your soul is being damaged. Because verbal abuse can be as damaging as physical abuse. So if you're going to stay with someone, you still have an obligation to treat them kindly. You cannot stay with someone and verbally abuse them and expect the love to remain, because you're actually killing the love, whatever you're verbally abusing. And if you kill the love, then sometimes it can be resurrected, sometimes it can't. Sometimes they don't want to feel the pain. So love doesn't hurt. If someone's hurting you, then you have to love yourself enough to step away from the hurt. But now if they're going through something and you realize they're going through an inner struggle and you choose to be patient with them and be supportive with them while they go through that struggle, then that's a sign of love. And that's a good thing. And they have a responsibility to strive to get through that difficulty so that they can love themselves enough to be a loving spouse to you.
Now,
so,
go ahead.
You know, it is a school. It teaches us how to love unconditionally and solve problems.
Yes, it
Sometimes
does.
Sometimes the problem is solved by ending the relationship because they're just too emotionally damaged to be a loving spouse. Sometimes the problem is resolved by getting counseling, so maybe a third impartial person can help us sort out these things and talk about these things that we're not able to talk about to each other because we're in so much pain. Sometimes the problem can be solved by us simply accepting that person as they are, because there's sometimes something a person can change about themselves, some things they can't. And so if you're going to love them unconditionally, there's a point where you must just accept them for who they are. You can't change them. You can't restructure them. You can't make them act the way you want them to act.
Grown folks, you can't change
them. Then you're choosing to accept them as they are. Not, well, I'll love you if you become what I say you should be. Because that's not love either.
Mm-hmm.
So that's control, which you can't do. So all of us end up learning that we can't control another person.
You can only control your reaction, your response to them, and how you feel about a situation. You can't control that. You may not like it, but you can control it.
Right. And sometimes people think they can use anger as a means of control. Well, I'll make them do what I want them to do because otherwise I have to face my wrath. And you know they don't want to do that.
Mm-mm.
Well, okay, what they learn to do is avoid you. They'll stay away from you rather than deal with your anger. So now you have pushed away love because if they're not in your presence, they don't want to be around you. Then you don't get the love because they don't want to be around you because you're making them hurt. So, like you say, we can only control how we respond to someone. If you respond lovingly to someone, then they'll respond lovingly to you.
And even if they don't, it is your responsibility to learn tools and techniques to help keep you centered, to keep you grounded. Because if you don't do the work on you, nobody else will.
Nobody else will.
You've got
to. They might be ill-tempered. They might, you know, whatever. If you know that that's just something inside of them, you can ignore them and not know, oh, they must think I'm ugly. They must, you know, it's not about you. It's about them. It's how they have maybe not learned how to manage anger, patience, or whatever. If you accept that that's a part of something they're struggling with and you're going to love them unconditionally, you're going to love them anyway, then you keep yourself at peace. Okay, you're acting up today. I'll just, you know, go for a walk and enjoy the trees and enjoy birds. I'm just going to ignore you for now and I'll come back and you'll be in a bigger mood. You know, and I'll be fine. It won't disturb my peace.
And even if you are, you're still upset when I get back, I'm going to let you stay upset and I'm going to do my deep breathing to calm myself down, to keep my emotions in check, to keep all my inner organs up to par, because the stress that you give me, that's in my emotions. Remember that video I showed you at the very beginning of the show, the 432 hertz? That needs to be playing in the background all the time. 24/7. You know, I know you got your favorite music you listen to, but that's good too. But there has to be a time where you learn to calm yourself down. That's what this man, this one here, is teaching me.
Oh yeah. Well, every marriage is a lesson. I mean, I learned so much in my 20 years of marriage, and I know that each person that you marry is different. There are a lot of people that have been married more than once, and that's okay because each marriage was a lesson. Each marriage give you an opportunity for more growth. Each person's going to bring something else out of you. So it's okay if you've been married more than once. Don't consider it a failure. Consider each one a lesson.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I hate that too. Why do they make it? You're a failure if you get a divorce. That's not a failure. You were at a specific place at a specific for a specific amount of time to learn whatever lesson you had to learn, and you go on. Just like Elizabeth Taylor and some other lady we were talking about the other day, been married 7 times, 8 times.
Well, that's seven opportunities they had for growth with each of those people. So it's not a failure. It's a decision to end a relationship that served its purpose, to teach you what it was supposed to teach you about yourself. So each person teaches you something about yourself, and it causes you to grow a little more in your understanding. And so if you get to a point where you feel like, well, I don't ever want to marry again, it's too painful, well, that's okay, too. Some people feel like they can't trust another person enough not to hurt them. So if that's how you feel, then you have to step back and evaluate, well, what did I do in each of these relationships that caused them to end in a way that was painful? What did I do? Not all these men are no good, all these women are no good. No, what am I doing that's creating a painful outcome for me so that the next love relationship that I have, I can do something different? You know, maybe I can be kinder. Maybe I can be more patient. Maybe I can be more forgiving. Maybe I can be more generous. Maybe I can be more trusting. You know, what do I need to change so that the experience that I have will change? So I think, you know, marriage is an opportunity, like Beata said, to learn, to grow, to experience, to feel even deeper love and acceptance. The greatest thing is to accept people for who they are. And sometimes we have a hard time because we think you're supposed to change somebody. But when you if you dated them long enough to know what they are, and you marry them, don't marry somebody thinking, well, I'm going to change you, I'm going to fix you.
Oh, no. I'm here to tell you that that one don't work.
It does not work. They come as is. You're decided you're going to love them as is. Not, well, if I can, I'll love you, but I'm going to make sure you stop smoking. Well, I love you, but I'm going to make sure you change your diet.
Right.
Well, I love you, but I'm going to make you change your career. Mm-mm. I love you, but, you know, I'm going to make you dress different. No, no. This is as is. And if you spend that marriage trying to change somebody, you're going to have a lot of conflict.
Hello. I'm here to tell you. Cause I can't say over the air some of the things that I said to my husband and I said to each other when we first got married, and he said he wanted to change me and I wanted to change him, but some things you just can't say in public, so we just have to keep that to ourselves. But
we all learn.
Yeah, yeah, but the lesson is you can't change them. You can't do it. That's not how it works. Change is an inside job, and while you're trying to focus on them, you need to focus on me.
Right.
Because they're a reflection of you. So if you see something negative in them, the question is, what is it about me that I see in them? Ooh, I don't like what I see. Ooh, that means I got to work on me. Oh, my goodness, I thought it was about you. No, it's about me. Oh, my God, I got to work on me. Yes, I do. Shut up, Tony. Yeah. He knows that. He knows. He called me hard-headed all the time. I'm not going to change. That's who I am. I was that way when we met 20 years ago. He knows that now, but he didn't know that now. I want you to change. I don't cook. I didn't cook when I met you. I told you that I don't cook. You thought I was lying?
You tried.
And he cooks, and he loves to cook, and I love helping him cook. You know, I wash the dishes. I'm now the sous chef. Because I didn't know that until I watched the shot. Somebody got to cut up the onions, the garlic, the tomatoes, the bell peppers, and the celery. Somebody got to cut it up.
See, now y'all worked it out.
We worked it out. But it was a training period. I want you to change. See, girl, I told you I didn't cook when I met you. I wasn't lying. I'm straight up. That's who I am. You couldn't accept it. You thought, oh, she gonna change. No, she ain't changed. 20 years later, she still ain't changed. She's not going to change. The change has to come from within.
Change when you change when you want to change. Not somebody treat you badly or fussing at you or calling you names. That doesn't work. And a lot of us were raised by parents, especially mothers.
One parent.
That thought that the way you motivate your child to do what you want them to do is to be critical. You ain't gonna never be nothing. They always get to think so that they will be motivated to try to prove you wrong. That's a parenting technique that our parents thought worked, and so many people use that technique. It's very damaging. It's very destructive to your self-esteem. It causes lifelong wounds to your spirit. People don't know that. They don't know that it's hurtful. They believe they're motivated. And they might produce a child that's, you know, workaholic, tries hard, gets straight A's, and head of the class, and top athletes, and all that stuff. They might produce an overachiever type of person. But on the inside, that person never feels good about themselves because you planted the seed as their parent that they're never going to be good enough.
Yep.
As a way to try to motivate them to try hard. And so they try harder, but they don't feel good about themselves. So have you really helped them by raising them then?
Mm-hmm.
So that's another thing we got to look at. That's part of what my experience has been growing up, that my parents made me feel like I wasn't good enough. I always had to try extra hard and it still wasn't good enough. Well, if I had that wound inside of me, then as soon as my spouse criticizes something, it's like a knife wound, bringing back that same pain.
Yep.
And I can't stand it.
Mm-mm.
So my response is going to be rage. And they're wondering, wait a minute, I just think could you see the floor a little better?
Right.
You cut me out. You
right.
Know, brought back memories of pain, of criticism, and being made to feel bad, and being made to feel worthless, and being made to feel like nothing after I tried to do something and not been appreciated. So all of that pain comes out of you when your spouse does that little criticism because of how you were raised by people who were extremely critical as a means to try to
That's why, sisters, we have got to learn how to right on this tongue. I'm talking about me now.
Sometimes you just need to be quiet. Don't say nothing. Don't say a word. Just start doing some deep breathing. And I promise you it will make a difference. Less arguments for sure. Vieta says, some people don't learn the lessons in marriage because they hold on to an inflated ego and continue with the same baggage from previous relationships. And soul contracts keep us in difficult relationships meant to end karmic cycles. We observe without judgment when we overstand these dynamics. Ooh, and all thy getting, get overstanding. Not understanding, overstanding. Thank you, Vieta. Vieta also says, but Zelda, you make some great smoothies to help him stay healthy. Yes, I do. No need to cook, just preparing real, prepare loving real food. Yes, I do, because we don't know that the food that we eat is killing us. Anything that is not alive has live enzymes like fruit that have seeds and water. If it doesn't have seeds in it, we shouldn't be eating it. If it doesn't have water in it, we shouldn't be drinking it. So I'm the smoothie queen. Can I get a witness, baby?
Yes.
Thank you.
So you're doing your part.
I'm doing my part. I can't cook, but I can make a mean smoothie.
Got me halfway here.
Yeah. Got him halfway, half and half.
Yep.
He's on there. So it's a process. So don't beat up on yourself. It's a process.
Don't beat up on you. You are who you are. I mean, my husband was a great chef, and I didn't mind the fact that I was not the greatest cook. You know, my daughter would tell you, he was the cook in the family. I was the one to wash the dishes, and he was cool with that. You know,
wow.
If I was out for dinner, when he cooked, if I invited him to dinner, if I was cooking, oh, I got an appointment. I'm sorry, I can't make it.
Oh.
Hey, I know that move.
What'd you say, Tony?
I know that move.
I know that move. Wow. That's funny.
That's all right. You know, hey.
I am not the only one. Thank you very much.
I'm not specified.
Hello.
I mean, you know, but Sultan was my soulmate, and I'm just so grateful that we had a relationship that was so exponentially together, and I learned so much. I learned even about step-parenting and understanding what has to happen when someone does marry again. And I made sure that his children from his previous marriage never felt like they had to take sides. I was never at odds with her. And that at the end times of my husband's life, we had a last dinner at my brother-in-law's house, and his ex-wife came, and I was there, and all the children were there, and we were sitting all together watching the movie, and I was braiding his ex-wife's hair. We were watching the Star Trek movie together, and I saw my husband look at us, and just had this look of peace on his face.
Oh, wow.
Everybody's going to be all right.
Yeah.
My family's all together, and everybody's going to be all right.
And that's why you say we women have the power to change things, to change this world, because we have it. And we don't even know it. And if we don't know it, we can't even exercise it. So how is that possible? You are a prime example of that. Two sisters. This was his former wife, right?
Former wife, you know, mother of his children. Who are sisters and brothers to my daughter.
And you sat down and braided her hair. You showed her love.
Yes,
you showed her love,
right.
Not hate, because he my husband now. He was your husband then, but he my husband now. No, you run things. You just don't know it.
Yes. So, you know, if people could understand the peace that comes in your heart when you have no hatred toward each other. Love is the solution to everything, and love is not exclusive. That's what's hard for people to get, even when you're married.
Yeah.
You cannot own a person's soul. So when my husband was ready to transition, he left this world in peace. His family was at peace. His children were at peace. And it was a wonderful thing. Because his transition was smooth, and I didn't grieve excessively. honestly, I mean, I missed him greatly, but I didn't grieve like, God, you took my husband. No. He finished his course. It was time for him to go, and he was able to leave in peace. And I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful because I kept my promise. I was there with him to the end. I was holding his hand when he transitioned.
Wow.
I was there until the end. That's what the marriage agreement
wow.
is. I will be with you until one of us returns home.
You watched him take his last breath.
Yeah.
How did that make you feel?
Wow, it made me feel... It made me feel that our love was eternal.
Mm.
So out of body, he would always be in my heart.
Mm.
And that is how it has been. So that's when I truly understood what marriage is.
Mm.
It's an agreement to be with that person during their journey and stay with them until the end.
Mm. Wow, that's powerful.
Yeah.
That is powerful. And it's power that we have that we don't even know about. I love it. Vieta says, strong sister who will build a new earth with healthier men and women. That's why we as women have got to stop blaming the other woman. When your male partner or female partner decides to become intimate physically, mentally, emotionally with someone else, that is the time to go within. That is not the time to attack him, her, she, it, them, we, she, be, whatever the name is, LGBTQ, whatever. That is the time to go within and do some soul searching and ask yourself, what is it about you that makes you remain in a situation that is uncomfortable to you? What are some of the steps? What are some of the resources that are available to you to help you get through this period, this transitional period in your life? Because it didn't come to stay. It came to teach you a lesson. I'm looking at my lesson every day. He's walking and talking and breathing and feeding me. And I don't always like what I'm being fed in the way of conversation or emotions.
But it's to teach you something about yourself. Now, I'll tell something. I hope I didn't tell this story on, you know, the other show or somebody else's show. If I have, y'all heard it before, I'm sorry. I'll tell it again briefly. But there was in our community a woman who wanted to be a second wife in our family. She was attracted to my husband.
Mm.
And God revealed it to me.
Mm.
We have a whole daily prayer, which we do every morning, I think. So during one of my daily prayers, God revealed to me that she had a desire to be a second wife.
Mm.
And she's been holding that in her heart because she's afraid if she brought it out that it would destroy your relationship.
Uh-huh.
Friend, because she was my friend.
Oh.
So God told me, you know, because she was scheduled to come visit us later that day. She was going to come in town and spend a day or so with us. And so what God told me is that now she's going to bring it up. And the signal when she's about to bring it up will be, she's going to say to you, you'll be talking about something else. She's going to say to you, Sister Naima, I was thinking. Now when she says that, that's when she's going to bring this idea up to you about being a second wife. So, what you should say to her, you should let her know that you and you know, Susan have talked about it, and that you had talked about, you know, if you should die, that, you know, you want her to marry your husband and continue raising your child. Because I think at a time, like my daughter, she was like maybe 10 or something. You should let her know that that's been talked about so that she won't have this burden on her heart that she's desiring your husband, because that is a burden on her heart.
Mm.
So this is what God told me. You know, she's going to bring it up. Well, now, later that afternoon, she came in town. We're sitting around. We're talking about something else. And then she says, out of the blue, listen to Naima. I've been thinking. She's going to bring it up. And she said, I was thinking about would have liked to be a co-wife. Now, she said that, and I was told she was going to read up. So I said, yeah, you know, actually, Mansell Khan had talked about him marrying you should something happen to me, and, you know, I wanted Zakiya to have a mother that I feel like I could trust to continue raising. So I talked about that. And, you know, I mean, she just kind of like, oh, and I could just see, like, relief, because she knows I'll cuss her out. Hey, my husband, you, yeah, I don't believe in that stuff. She didn't know if I was going to do that or not. She moved me as a friend, so she didn't know how I was going to respond. That brought such relief to her. So we had that discussion in front of us. And you know, again, I discussed it with my husband. I said, well, you know, she really is interested in marrying you. And he said, well, you know, I had to really wrap my mind around that because, you know, even though you all are the same age, I kind of see her more as a daughter because, you know, I had a 20-year age gap, but he saw me as a partner because we were. So he said, well, I had to really think about that, you know. But he was open to the idea.
Mm.
Now, God and his sense of humor. My husband, you know, after he was diagnosed with cancer, he said, well, I can't really consider marrying another woman because I wouldn't be able to, you know, perform my husbandly duties or in my body being racked with this disease, you know. So we just had to kind of focus on trying to get him healed. And then when we got to him, he was not going to heal. He was going to transition from this. I realized, okay, this is going to happen. I just got to focus on being the best spouse I can be until the end. And, of course, what happened after that is that God put me in a situation where I experienced someone who was having difficulties because they had a desire to have that kind of, you know, multiple woman relationship, but they were not of a religion that allowed that. They were Christian.
Oh.
And so what God allowed me to see was what it feels like when you are involved with someone who is involved with someone who doesn't have the emotional capacity to accept the idea of love being expansive, where it is inclusive and can include more than one person. What does that feel like when you feel another woman's jealousy? So instead of the loving sisterhood that I had with a sister who I was willing to welcome into my family, I experienced the wrath of a woman who was angry at me because the person she was involved with was also attracted to me. And God explained to me that my purpose is to help women with this problem. That is one of my purposes for being on earth. So in order for me to help women, I need to be able to see the situation from all sides. As long as I can only see it from the side of a Muslim woman who had a religious belief that allowed this, I wouldn't be sensitive to women who are not of that faith and are going through the intense emotions of someone attracting their husband. I would be sensitive to their hurt. I'd be, oh, God, how come she can't understand it? You know, so I had to experience all sides of that situation in order to help women. Because this issue is the issue we have to resolve if we're going to heal the hurt in our community and rebuild our families. Our families are broken. They've been broken by history. They've been broken by emotional distress that we've experiencing. We've been broken by our lack of seeing healthy families. We, the women, have to heal, and we have to understand it so we can heal our children. So this is my life purpose, healing this pain between women. So God, in his sense of humor, had me go through all phases of this and experience women who did not want to have someone involved in their relationship with their man, and a man who had difficulty being honest about it because it was not acceptable in his religion. And so helping all of these people understand a concept that they didn't have the cultural experience to understand. They didn't have the historical experience to understand. That is challenging. Because the only thing people know is
what we've been taught. What we've been taught. Yep. What we've been told.
I'm going to cheat on my girl. I'm going to cheat on my wife. I can't say because then they'll be mad. You know, that's the only thing they know.
Right.
So how do you help people raise their consciousness to a higher level, a higher expression of love, and create a culture that they have not seen in a healthy way? And the culture that they're in is not healthy, but it's the only culture that they know. That's the challenge. And the only solution to this is love, which means we have to have a greater understanding of what love is. And love includes, it doesn't exclude, and love heals. And love is kind, love is patient, love is forgiving. And we have to be able to be all these things to each other as women if we're going to, like Beyonce said, help the men heal. It's a big challenge because it's a lot of emotion involved. And I've seen and felt all sides of those emotions so that I could understand. So I empathize with everybody who is going through pain because I've been through it. And God took me through it on purpose. It would have been easy if my husband here either had multiple wife situations. I said, oh, y'all can do this. Yeah, it's no problem. But I had to see what happened when, what about the women don't agree? What about the man don't know how to be honest? What about if there is so much anger that you can't even talk about it?
Yeah.
How do you deal with that? I had to go through that so I could have the experience to be sensitive to people who are going.
No, I don't ever remember you sharing that, Naima. I just don't. I don't remember that.
You have to love yourself with that.
You might have told that on your on another show. I never heard that one. I was like, Naima, already now. Okay, but the fact that you said, when you said what you said and you saw a sign of relief on her face, that just brought the situation to a whole new level. There was no argument. There was no disagreement. It was just, it is what it is, and this is how we're going to handle it. Wow.
Well, can you imagine if you know you're in love with somebody's husband, and you know that's in your heart, and you're visiting this person, you feel guilt, you feel shame, but you still feel attraction to that man. So how are you going to handle that?
Yeah.
So I was able to relieve her of all the guilt, shame, and all the stuff. And it's okay. It's okay. Yeah, he's a wonderful man. I understand how you're attracted to him, and I think this is workable. It's okay.
Yeah.
You know?
Wow.
I had to be at a spiritual level.
Yes. Yes. That takes some self-mastery.
Yeah.
To be able to accept something that appears to be very confrontational, because I don't know that I'm equipped to handle that.
Yeah. Well, you know, I have to look at the fact if God thought it was important enough to tell me in that manner, to tell me, that means this must be something very important.
Yeah.
This is a very important spiritual step that I'm taking. I'm getting revelations from the divine of what's about to happen, and I'm being told what's in somebody else's heart. That's for a reason. It's for me to be sensitive so that I can respond in the right thing. And that was the right spiritual way to respond. Not to condemn her, not to call her a harlot or a you know, you want to be an adulterer, not to call her name,
right,
but to understand what's in her heart, to empathize with what she felt,
yes,
and to realize that she needs love just like I do. I'm
yes.
a woman just like she is. And, okay, if we're attracted to the same man, probably because we got a lot of the same qualities, you know, a lot of the same thoughts, you know, the same standards. So it doesn't make her bad. It doesn't make her wrong. Yeah, I'm married. But he's a man that attracted her, and that didn't make her a bad woman.
At all.
So that I had to really reach that level of spiritual understanding in order to have compassion.
Well, I salute you, my sister, because that is something that most women are not willing to incorporate into their relationships if they are ever confronted with that. So I salute you, my sister, because you one in a million, girl. You are one in a million, because if somebody contacted me, asked me that question, I don't know how I would react. I don't know.
And that's why we have resources available on my blog, after show updates, resources from Cheating Part 3 on Monday Morning Mindfulness. And you think today was good, wait until next week when we have Brother Khalid Scott, who is a veteran mental health professional. I did not, it was not my intention to have to continue this cheating. It's just such a demand for it. We have, that is the mission of the Female Solution, is to meet the demand of what is needed from our listeners. So next week we have Khalid Scott, Back to School Basics. He'll be on at 8 a.m. So Naima and I will be here at from 7 until 8. Well, Naima will join at 7:30, as she always does. And we will discuss more of that, because there is so much chaos and turmoil in the community, not just the African-American community, but in the Cuban, the Latin, the Greek, the Polish, the Asian. All communities are experiencing this from a high level of tension, and it is just destroying the fabric of our culture. Because we can't eat it away, we can't drink it away, we can't smoke it away, we can't screw it away, excuse my French, we can't do any of that. It's an inside job. We have got to get to a tree, y'all.
Yeah.
We've got to do the work, and we don't want to do the work, but we got to do it, because otherwise it's going to haunt us until we leave the planet. And that may offend somebody, and I'm not even apologizing for it. It is what it is. So if you want to give us a closing thought, Naima, while I find our closing, well, actually, I haven't played our The Female Solution promo. So go ahead and give us a closing thought, if you would, please.
You know, this morning, my 5:55 address that I do on Facebook Live every morning, I've mentioned, or I'm promoting a particular narration of a man. Near-death experience. It kind of really affected me profoundly, because what he saw during the time he was dead and he was reviewing his life, he saw how his actions affected everybody. And he said one little act of kindness he did in pouring water on the tree that was, you know, dry and thirsty, it was like there was great applause in heaven. It's like this was the greatest thing he could have done. He was surprised something like that got such accolades. And he said, because you did it as an act of kindness from your heart.
Mm.
That's incredible. And then he saw how when he had beat up this little boy in his grammar school, William beat him up, the boy went home crying and everything, and he saw how the negative energy from that little boy, it was affecting everything. It went out into the universe. It was affecting the trees, the plants, all around where he walked down the street. It affected the rocks. He said that everything is alive, and everything grows your energy. That little boy he beat up, the energy was so negative from that beating that the little boy was affecting the whole atmosphere where he was. And when he went home, the distress of his parents, seeing him get beat up, they were upset, and they were upset from then on. Every time he left the house, they were worried, they were afraid. That if he came home late, was he attacked again? So he saw how he had created such destruction from that act of meanness.
Mm.
And, you know, when he described what he saw, I thought about that. I said, if we could see every act that we do and what it affects, not just people, but the environment, the air, the water, the rocks, the soil, when we're mean, we would never be mean to a single soul. We would never say any nasty thing. If we saw the energy and what that does, and if we saw the beauty of the act of kindness, even to the plants, the animals, the wonderful joy that in the universe, we would be so conscious to do loving, joyful things to people. If we could see what actually is happening in the spirit realm whenever we do something, would be so conscious of how we treat people. So, you know, look at today's 5:55. Go on my Facebook page, Naima Latif. That was one that really affected me profoundly, because you think about somebody's hurt and anger affecting the rocks on the ground. That's pretty easy. So we don't ever want to cause that much pain to anybody. where the pain that we call somebody, it literally goes throughout the universe. We want to bring joy. And we'll be so pleased when we do leave this world, we can see the good that we did. So let's all do good. And let's all bring love and bring joy.
And we can do that by getting quiet and listening to the still, small voice that is within us. And when we do that, we are acknowledging, we're letting the Creator know that we are paying attention. And when we pay attention, when we give our attention to that which is responsible for us being here, things will change and you will see them slowly but surely. And this is one way to do that, and that is to meditate to activate. Now, if you go to the website, you'll see one price. But if you go to the website and you order the T-shirts now that we did during Monday morning mindfulness meditation, you will get half off today only. How about that? And it's tax deductible. So be sure and check out higherlearningnetwork.org. And that information is available on higherlearningnetwork.org. Last but not least, we are going to play the outgoing Female Solution broadcast. We want to thank you for being a part of this experience this morning, and we look forward to seeing you here next Monday Morning Mindfulness. We'll do it all over again. And be sure and tune in tomorrow morning for Self-Care with Jody Susan. And on Wednesday, Naima, what's the show going to be about?
Well, we'll be doing part two of the Life Partnership Contract.
Ah.
It's a document that can solve the problems of our broken
community. Sorry about that. Don't know what happened. And on Thursday?
And of course, we've got Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green, and get some soulful healing, and definitely take advantage of having your own weekly therapist, right? You know,
yeah, free, because
free, yeah, you need it.
You know, we need it, and we don't even know that we need it. That's the sad part about it. We need it, and we don't even know we need it. And it's free. It's available free of charge. All we have to do is show up. And Friday?
Health and well-being with Beata. Learn how to keep that body in tune so it can continue to serve you well. And learn about some things that you can do to perhaps reverse some damages you may have done in the body that you're in. Because these bodies were made to last if we treat them right.
I met so many 80-year-old women yesterday at the African Festival of the Art, which is still going on right now until 9 o'clock tonight. I met so many 88-year-old women that look good. You have got to see these videos. They're on my page, on my Facebook page, HLNTV1. You have got to see that. And just remember to do something special for yourself, because it ain't but one you.
That's right.
As I leave.
Saturday at 12 noon for our cheat retreat, so make sure you tune in 12 noon for that. And if you're struggling in a relationship and your partner's been unfaithful or you've been unfaithful, you want to join us, because we want to talk about how do you resolve that. Ultimately, the idea is to get rid of the pain, whichever decision you need to make. So join us for the Cheat Retreat this Saturday, December 10th,
12
noon, on
the Female Solution. As we close out, we want to thank you. Please, thank you for sharing this video with someone.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Beats. Tuesdays, Self-Care with Jody Busan. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Beata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama Dee.
Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
Thank you so much for being with us here, and we will see you tomorrow on Soul Purpose Healing. I'm sorry, not Soul Purpose Healing, Self-Care.
Yeah,
see you then. Self Purpose, Stay in Power.
Buy and sell pre-owned ultra-luxury handbags.
I don't know
watches,
where that's coming from, but it's over with now. Okay.
It's the brands you love, backed with our 100% authentic lifetime guarantee. Louis Vuitton, Chanel, Cartier, up to...
Cheers.